ഗുരുഗോവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്ത സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തപുരവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാപണഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി. സോ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി. സോ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോ വിഷ്ണു പദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണവേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയാം. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിവത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാഹം. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ കാപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. സമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ కళవేణు కొడిదాదృతానందో మమ వాజి విశంభదా మురారే మధురిన కనికాపి కాపి కావి నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నంద వ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశాం యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమిది సుందరమందహాసం దాలయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం అంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయ తపత్రనేత్రాం యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైక పానయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో కావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథ జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సౌతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతాథగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం అంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వందిదివేస్తవైర్వేదైర్సంగపదేర్క్రమోపనిషదేర్గాయందీయం సమగాహం ధ్యానావస్థితతద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః So, with this 18th chapter, first Krishna spoke about the karma, first 18 verses, and then after that, Krishna mentioned that based on the three modes of material nature, everything can change. Particularly, jnanam, that means the knowledge, karmam, the action, and karta, the doer. So, Krishna started explaining how the knowledge changes based on the modes of nature. Satyagam, Rajasam, Tamasam. That is those verses, 20, 21st and 22nd. There are three verses in relationship with the knowledge based on goodness, knowledge based on passion, and knowledge based on ignorance. That is the 20, 21 and 22. After that, Krishna started talking back again about karmam also. Karmam also, Krishna says, varies according to the modes of nature. So there, we have yesterday spoken about the 23rd verse. Niyatam sangarehidam aragad dveshadakritam abhalaprepsuna karmam yattat satvikamuchyate. 23, verse 23. So, what is the nature of a satvika karmam? A person who executes satvika karmam, and if the karta is in the satvika nature, karta has to be satvikam, karmam has to be satvikam, the result will be, the knowledge will be satvikam. Mode of goodness, knowledge in the mode of goodness will build up in such a person. So that is why Krishna is explaining, based on the three modes, these three things, knowledge, action and the doer, how they change based on the modes of nature. That's the only way we can understand that. Otherwise, it is very difficult to lump everything into one pot and saying that everybody will be in this. That won't happen. It's not possible to put everyone into one group and say that everybody will be like this. You can't make it. Therefore, that classification is necessary for us to understand what actually creates this mode of goodness in a person. And what is the symptoms of a person who is in the modes of nature and who is in the mode of goodness. So, yesterday when we said that, niyatam, that means he accepts the karmam, what has come to him. Niyati, what destiny has brought it to him, he accepts that. Sangarehidam, that means when the karmam is performed, he has no connection, attachment to it. Whatever that comes from the, without any attachment or aversion, not looking into the nature of the karmam, he executes the karmam. And what else? Aragadveshadapurvam, aragadveshadakritam. That is the nature of that karmam is that it does not create any ragam or dvesham, any attachment or aversion in a person. After the karmam is executed, it will not create any attachment or aversion inside. That is the very nature of that karmam. Aragadveshadakritam. Then abhalaprepsuna karmam. And without any attachment and without concern about the results also. This is how that karmam is executed. Yattal satya muchyade. That is the nature of a satya karmam. Satya karmam's nature. That is what we have spoken till so far. So, then, after saying that, Krishna says there, niyadam nityam sangarehidam. Nityam sangarehidam. Asakti varjidam, araga dveshadakritam, raga yuktena, dvesha yuktena chakritam, raga dveshadakritam, tad vivaridam, araga dveshadakritam, abhala praepsuna, abhalam praepsadi, idi bhala praepsu, bhala trishna, tad vivaridena, abhala praepsuna, kartragritam, karmayat, tad sattvika muchyade. So, sattvika karmam nature is, you can understand when we read these verses, that attachment is not there to the karmam, and attachment to the results also is not there in the karmam. Neither attachment to the karmam, neither no attachment to the karmam, no attachment to the results of the karmam either. Similar, that means karmam that has come to him through niyati, through destiny, or prarabdham, he accepts that. But he doesn't go around looking for fresh karmam to start. That is rajasam. And sangarehidam, and important thing is, this karmam has one nature, aragadveshadam. That means, it does not create ragadvesham in a person. That is the interesting thing. When the karmam is executed, the karmam is completed, there is no ragam, there is no dvesham inside. No ragadvesham inside. So that's another aspect of the satyam. Now let us look at the rajasa karma. That's the next one. Yato kamepsuna karmam. Sahangarena vapuna. Kriyate bahulayasam. Tadrajasamudahridam. Yato kamepsuna karma. Sahangarena vapunam. Kriyate bahulayasam. Tadrajasamudahridam. So that is the next section of the karmam. After talking about sattvika karmam, what is the nature of a rajasa karmam? Krishna is saying, yattu kameyapsuna karmam sahangarena va puna kriyade bahulayasam tad rajasam udahadam. Krishna says, so there you can see that the but action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mood of passion. Action in the mood of passion. So it is not difficult to understand this rajasa karma, because first thing is he has no knowledge. Tattva-jnanam is not there in that person. This is a symptom of a rajasic person. That means he has no knowledge of the shastram. He does what he wants, basically. Does what he says. And how does he do that? How does he do that karmam? Because he says, what do you call it is, he has got a drive inside. Driven. Remember we say like that? He's very driven, we say. So if you've got the drive inside, that is rajasam. One who does karmam based on his drive, that is rajasam. That is rajasam. Drive means what? He has got desires inside. Lot of desires inside. That's what Krishna is saying there. Yattu kamepsuna karmam. Kamam is the one that is forcing him to do that work. Because of the strong, intense desires inside. Or ambition. Whatever way we want to call it. Ambition or drive or... You can see that absence of sattugunam in that person. Very easily you can detect that. The drive in him, the kamam in him, the desire in him, attachment in him, everything will manifest very easily. Even in devotional service, don't take it otherwise, that even there you will notice this karma, manifesting this drive and ambition and intense desire for activity. This is all a part of that, because it's not based on knowledge. That is why. You see, we won't understand this because we are thinking, oh, if we got a drive, oh, he's done so much devotional service, he's doing so much this, that and the other. No meaning. It is not based on shastram. Tattva-jnanam is not there. That satya buddhi won't develop very easily. Therefore, because it's done in the rajasic way, the knowledge that will build up will also rajasic from that. That is the problem. So, here Krishna says that desire will go to such an extent, more, and never satisfied in life. Never satisfied in life. And and because of this rajasic nature, that a country breaks down, families break down, everything breaks down. You can see this happening everywhere in the world today. Wherever this rajasic nature has gone in, you will find this, that villages have become empty. Many samskaram, wherever there was culture, it has all gone, completely destroyed. Families have broken up. A complete devastation of the whole society, that's a result of this rajasic nature. They won't understand that. We keep saying that progress, progress, progress. What's progress? This is the progress. To destroy everything. All values get destroyed. Samskaram goes away. Everything breaks down. The whole system break down, and then it becomes irreparable afterwards. So, what is the reason for that? Krishna is saying there, see that, yattu kamepsuna karmam. If we don't accept Krishna's words, especially the leaders who think that they are leading in the right direction,
But when they don't know that the subtle side of life, what Krishna is saying here, yattu kamepsuna karmam, if we whip up this kamam, desire in everyone, and engage them in this kind of activities, then sahangarenava puna, that two things are driving there. One side, kamepsuna, that because of the desire, that desire, he runs around all over the world, thinking that I'll become happy if I go to this country or that country or somewhere else. I go there, I go here, looking for some happiness in life. That is what it is. And if you ask the person, why are you going? He says, career. That's the answer. Career for that. So, and what happens? There is no peace anywhere. The whole families are burning, life is burning, everyone gets completely shaken by the whole thing. So you can see this smelling everywhere, all over, particularly in the Bharatavarsham. It's happening more than anywhere else. So there is no peace. And what is interesting, if you observe them very carefully, you will notice certain things like this. Then before this Rajasic action started, particularly what we know today as the industrialization and all that, prior to that, people lived in the villages. Now villages are getting empty. Everyone is moving into the city. In the villages, if you have observed, say about 50, 60 years ago even, you could see that the grandfather, the grandchildren, the parents, all they were able to live together. And some of them, they didn't have a very big occupation. They were simple people. They had a very small income and they lived in a very simple life. But he had his family, wife, 3-4 children and grandchildren all. And he was able to retire from his work at a particular age. And then he was able to spend his retired life in some temples or ashrams where he had a lot of satsangam and also possibility of developing that renunciation and knowledge necessary for before leaving the body. All that opportunity was there. And he, not only that, he was able to live his life with the wife and the children, he was able to get them married and they had their children, and he was able to move away from the scene peacefully. But today what do you see? And he was able to retire peacefully and live his life peacefully and leave this world peacefully. But all that has gone away. All that has disappeared. Because children have gone away, different parts of the world. They have all gone. One went to America, one went to Australia, one went to Europe, one went to Gulf, wherever it is. That's gone. If you ask them where have they gone, don't know. They have gone so far away. And no connections after that with the parents either. Connections are all broken. And then you get a card on the Father's Day or the Mother's Day. You get a card from them. That's it. That's a connection. That card. That one card is the connection. So, what Krishna is saying here, though this samskaram has come now everywhere, we are not trying to change all these things. It's not possible to change it. But what we're trying to say is that we are thinking things are progressing. That's the madness behind it. We're thinking that everything is progressing, isn't it? Therefore, we have to say this. Krishna is saying that kamepsuna karmam. See that word? Yattu kamepsuna karmam sa hangarena vapunam. So, kamepsuna karmam means because he has got ambition inside, the drive inside, I want this, I want that, so many things. And you are running around. But along with that, sahangarena va puna. That karmam, which has come from ambition and drive, it is not done in a proper way. Why? It's done with ahangaram, with a lot of false ego inside. So ahangaram inside, as well as the ambition inside, desire inside. So, I want to be in the front. Therefore, what happened? Because of this, everybody else exploits them. Everybody else exploits them. People are seeing these things. It's not that nobody is observing all these things. Once you create the desire, you can see in the IT industry itself, so many big corporations have come up because of that. And these young boys and girls, they are working there in Bangalore and in many other big cities at the night. Because the industry is here and in America to suit them. They know that they can get this job done there. And therefore, they have created the situation that because the people who are working there, they have been told that you have to work like this to earn, to make a living. And therefore, other countries and other industrial corporations are able to exploit these situations. So, it is not possible to do anything about it, but it is the law in the society that because there is nobody to ask anything, and therefore, when others are woken up, they have to work. When they have to sleep, they are not able to sleep. But they have to work there, because somebody else is, some other part of the world is working to suit that. They have to wake up in the night time and stay working for that purpose. So Kali Krishna says there, Kamepsuna karmam sahangarena vapunam. Sahangarena. Because somehow or the other, it's been injected to their mind that you need all this wealth to live here. And so the young boy or girl who have started this career in their life, he is thinking like that if I don't have this job, if I don't have this work, how will I live? Who created this fear in their mind in the first instance? One generation before, they didn't have this fear. They lived. They got their food. Their family lived together. But as soon as this fear was created in their mind, what happened? The families broke up. And then the fear got up further. There's nobody there behind me. No support. Automatically, that fear grew up in such a way that they have to work day and the night for both. So, the result is that after working for 10 or 15 or 20 years, when they walk out of the office, there is no life in the body left. Because of the habits of sleep, not able to sleep at night, and completely stressed out with the work, everything. So, the only important thing is, this cannot be changed, it's not possible. The world is going its own way. What is important here is that we think that all this is achievement. Isn't it? The media and others, they present it in such a way, they make you feel that it's a great achievement the country has made by doing all these kind of things. So, so thing is that when lifestyle and the pattern of life has changed like this, where is the question of bhakti? Where is the question of Krishna consciousness, knowledge? All these things have no chance of happening in their life. So it is that modern culture, modern civilization, what has created this drastic change in this world. Vivekananda said about this in one instance when he was after he travelled in America and he spent a few years there and he came back to India. He was saying this, what he was saying was that in America what I have noticed, he said, for them they say, I got a home, I got a car, I got telephones and so many other things, and I got a flower vase at home, and similarly this spiritual life is also something that you have to buy and keep it at home, like the car, like the flower vase. That's how they have lived. That is what he was pointing out. Not understanding what spiritual life means. In other words, when it comes to that level, that utilizing material advancement is the priority over everything else, not spiritual life. If it has come to that, what he says there, that this spiritual life is also some special thing that you have to buy from the market and keep at home. Just like you buy car or telephone or something like that, things like that. So, our Krishna, understanding of God, understanding of Krishna, is also, it's like a fashion. It becomes a fashion. So sometimes, when you talk about bhakti, that itself, they become very indifferent to that word, bhakti. They say, don't talk to us about Vedantam, don't talk about bhakti. You can talk about all these things, but it's not practical, they say. It's not practical. In other words, they find it very difficult to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and what Krishna had to say to this world. All these things, they are not able to accept it. Because once you are caught up in this cycle of industry, ambition, drive, and the ego that builds up from that, there is no escape route. You are stuck in that. To come back to knowledge, and then when you tell them about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedam, Upanishads, Shastram, all these things, they find that very, very difficult to understand. What is the importance of all this? What's the use of all these things, they are asking. They are asking all these things. So, the rishis, they gave us something valuable and unable to accept that. Their intention was that their intention was that somehow we take to this process and benefit from that. That was their intention. Somehow I benefit from this process. That is why they gave us, they were not doing out of any, thank you. They were not doing out of any other, they didn't want anything from us. They thought to keep us peaceful in this life and utilize this human life for a higher purpose. For that they gave us the holy name, Upanishads, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, and so many other things as well. Their intention was that peace in life, because only in peaceful state you will understand spiritual life. Only when there is shanti inside. So, knowing very well this thing, otherwise, kamepsuna karmam, Krishna says there, isn't it? Kamepsuna karmam, sahangarena vapuna. When you engage in karmam with this ahangaram and kamam, desire, when karma is executed with the ahankara, ego, and with the desire behind it, Krishna says, invariably there will be a problem. What is that problem? Kriyate bahulayasam. See the third line. Kriyate bahulayasam. Kriyate bahulayasam means that you will find karma very a big struggle. It will become a big struggle. Karmam should not become a struggle. Karmam should not become a struggle. Karmam should get through this body. That is the purpose. Karmam is not meant to be a huge endeavor. Whereas in the modern concept, you can see that somebody who is working day and night, and somebody is investing a lot of energy into that karmam, that person, what chance has he got to get freed from the bondage? He is only getting bound more and more. So therefore, when karma is executed, if it is not done in the satya karma mode, he will be bound more by doing it in the rajasic mode. That is a disadvantage of the rajasic karma. That's what Krishna is saying there. Yattu kamepsuna karma. First of all, there is intense desire and drive inside for the karma. Then, sahangarena va puna. Along with that, his ego is also very strong, driving this from inside. When these two things combine together, kriyade bahulayasam. Karma, when he does that, he will see that a lot of energy is wasted in that process. Kriyade bahulayasam and tad rajasam udahridam. Krishna says there that it is rajasam. This IT industry, particularly I'm saying because it's a modern thing, isn't it? So, some 20 years, not long ago, 20, 30 years ago, when these computers came to India, we didn't know anything at that time, what new thing is. No, people didn't have a clue about it. But then, occasionally here and there a few people went to big cities like Bombay or Delhi or somewhere like that, and they have got into some business with the modern industry. So if you ask them when they come back to the villages, what do you do? They will say, I'm in the IT business. They will say like that. Or somebody else will say, software business. They will say like that. So if you ask them, what is that? They will say that you won't understand that. They used to say like that. So then sometimes people used to get upset when they say like that. They say, is it like a fruit or vegetable or something like that? They used to ask that question because you don't understand what, at that time. Now it's become much more known, isn't it? Everybody, at least from every family there is one person in the software industry or in the IT industry. So at that time it was like that. So when it came and we didn't know, it was like a virus is going to destroy the whole society like with this. So that's the way it has happened. So at that time you could not understand this. So Krishna is saying here, kriyade bahulayasam tad rajasam udahridam. See, so what can you do when they say to us, you won't understand? Yes, we won't understand. What can you do now? You don't understand that. So if you ask the person, what are you doing exactly? Because at that time we didn't know what is this computer thing it is, isn't it? Nobody knew because it didn't exist at that time. Normal jobs like manufacturing and industry was completely different. Since this has come, the whole thing has changed. Everything has changed. So simple lifestyle is gone. Life became very complicated. Life became very, very complicated. Now leave that behind. Adhyalpam, spiritual life also. We notice also that in the past they had time for recreation or to spend time with the family and friends and society, things like that. Or with wife, children, grandchildren, all that. But now that's also gone. There's no time for even that. And you can see that in the modern society, husband, wife and one child. That's it. That's all we can afford now. Can't afford anything more than that. Maximum two, isn't it? Not more than that. Whereas, just one generation before, if you look back, not long, you don't have to go very far. One generation before you look back, an average person who had a very simple job and a very small income, he had wife, three or four children, few boys and few girls. He got them all married in his life, and then he retired from his service, and he was able to move away from the family life to the next stage. Whereas here, the husband and wife with one child is struggling the whole life. Why is it happened like this? This is reality, is it not? Nobody can disagree with this. Because this is a fact of life. And, of course it's not possible to change it now, it's too late. But, thing is that, we think that we have progressed. Where is that progress? Is this the progress we call it? So Krishna is saying, this Rajasa Karmam. Because, from sattvigam, you can see it has moved to rajasam. When rajasic nature came to us, and all these new fresh ideas of the drive and pride in the work and running around all over the world to maintain ourselves in this world, all this is the result of all this is, Krishna is saying here that kriyate bahulayasam. Bahulayasam, lot of effort in living in this world. Instead of able to get through this world in an easy way, without struggle and without too much of stress, kriyade bahulayasam. And every day we have to discuss about our economy. Is this the only job in life, to discuss the economy? So that is what has happened. This is all because of that. You will see in the media also, press, television, and in the radio, everywhere, all the time discussion about economy, isn't it? Election is based on the economy. Everything is based on the economy. This is all due to what? This Rajasam. Rajasik Jnanam. Rajasik Jnanam is behind it. So, now it's like you can see, if you, in the small family, there's one child, if you tell him a brother, sister, he won't understand what it means. Would he? You never had one, no sister either. So, but in spite of that, there is no time for anything. And if you ask the question, why this extra labor or hard work you are putting into this world, has it given any happiness to this world, or peace in this world, or spiritual progress in this world, or spiritually adhyalpam, anything? Nothing. Then what happened? The only thing is, by the age of 40, he can retire because of working like this. This hard work he puts into it. By the age of 40, 45, the person is finished. All the energy is gone. Then there is no capacity to absorb anything more into this, into his understanding. And in that process, he was not happy, nor there is a lot of ragadvesham inside in their life because of working like this. Because in the rajasic way, when you execute karmam, the after effect is ragadvesham. It is bound to happen. In a rajasic society, when you are operating, because of that rajasic nature, there will be ragam and dvesham in the people's mind. In the people's mind. So, and the only thing is, all you can say is, in your life, a lot of people have passed through, in your life, through you, through in front of you. Isn't it? Or you have discussed with a lot of people, a lot of enmity and a lot of quarreling happened in the profession. And if you ask the question that, oh, I'm doing all these things to survive in this world. And so, yes, it is true that everybody has the freedom to do what they want. You got the freedom even to steal, isn't it? To steal something, you got the freedom for that. Shastram is telling us that if that is the way you have to live in this world, there's no other way you can make a living in this world, then it's accepted. That that if there is no alternative, that only by stealing that you can live in this world, Shastram approves that, says you can steal. There's no harm in stealing. That's how Shastram looks at him. Because those who have God, this is a analysis of the capitalism. Rajasam and capitalism goes well. You have to look at that also. We glorify capitalism because capitalists, do you say that, is it not? They say that this drive and ambition and be on the top of everything, where is it coming from? That rajasic nature. So the after effect of this capitalism is, because you are not willing to share with others, and you believe in your so-called ism, whatever it is, ism, the after effect of that is that society will develop in this way. You are injecting this rajasic nature into everyone, and the effect of that is there is no shanti anywhere. Rajasic knowledge is this. You will see, if you look into the principles of capitalism, there are so many economists writing books about that, isn't it? Capitalism, communism, socialism, all isms, they have written all that. And if you read through that, you will see, in capitalistic society, they have this strong drive and urge for creating, in the name of creating wealth, in the name of maintaining the society, they feel they have taken it upon their head. Because we have no sattvika nature in us, not depending on Krishna for living in this world. Instead, we put it on our own our own strength or our own pride or ego, whatever way if you want to call it. So that is what Krishna is pointing out here. In the modern context, if you look these verses, you will see that what is spreading all around, big corporations, big institutions, which employs 100,000, 500,000 people all over the world, industrial conglomerates all over, and they control the... Why? Because that is driven by such people who have this rajasic knowledge. Otherwise you couldn't survive in that. Because of their rajasic nature, what Krishna says here? Yattu kametsuna karmam sahangarena va puna kriyate bahulayasam tad rajasam udahridam. And with this rajasic knowledge spreading everywhere, it is not possible to develop satyagya jnana. That is him. What's all we have to understand. If you can escape from this, that's your good fortune, somehow or the other. But that is a situation now. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, what it creates is that, that as I mentioned, that Shastram allows that if a situation develops in this way, and a lot of people won't get food in this world because of this ahankaram inside and this greed inside, which is a byproduct of this kind of rajasic nature, people won't get food in this world. A lot of places, there is so much food produced in this world, but they are not getting it. They are not getting it. Why does this situation happen in this way? Because Krishna is saying that unless your mentality is right, you got all false ideas in your head. Krishna is pointing out to that. That if the knowledge is not sattvikam, where he mentioned niyadam sangarahidam araga dveshadakranam apalapraisana karmam satyagam yathat sattvikam uchade. If the sattvikam is not there, and if rajasam comes in the form of all these modern ideas, then that society have to suffer. There is no choice. There is nothing you can do about it. Because the people who are driving this, they haven't got this understanding of what Krishna is saying here. Bhagavad Gita. You see how absence of Bhagavad Gita creates a problem in the whole society. Is it not? So, therefore, he says, therefore, Shastram says, if a situation develops like that, and if you have to steal to eat something, if you don't get food, that is how criminality develops. Isn't it? When you don't provide to everybody for their minimum necessities of life, then naturally it will develop into revolutions and all other kinds of disturbances in the society. It will happen. Because if Shastram says, even if you have to steal, loot or kill, you can do that. It's allowed. Why? Everything belongs to Krishna. That is Shastram's attitude. Shastram is telling us, everything belongs to Krishna. It's not anybody's property here. So if in a society, due to mismanagement and due to rajasic nature, if an imbalance happens in the society, if somebody turns out to be a criminal, you can't blame him. Shastram's point is like that. Shastram's attitude is, at that time, if he does that, he's justified in that. You know, in India, big problem now they are talking about is not about terrorism. It's about this problems in many 5-6 major states. They are worried about this people in the villages having serious problems with the industrialists. That they have gone ahead and they see how this industry is changing the whole landscape, whole way of life of the poor villages in the states in Chhattisgarh, in part of UP, and so many other places, parts in the country itself. So it's a drastic effect happening there. So they have turned into what they call as the Naxalites, Maoists, and so many other groups. And they've taken arms themselves and started fighting against the government and killing the government officers, police people, and so many other things. It's always going on. Army is deployed within the country to contain them. So this is the way they're handling it. So this kind of revolt and reactions coming from this rajasic nature. So, so ahangaram, abhimanam, or sahangaram, Krishna says here, sahangarena vapuna. Ahangaram is there behind that karma. That karma will not bring any peace into the society. Kriyade bahulayasam, Krishna says here. So, in order to live peacefully in this world, rajasic jnanam will not help. That's the only thing you have to understand. If we want shanti and peace inside, rajasic jnanam won't help. Rajasic jnanam won't help. Only shelter is satvika jnanam. If karma is executed in the satvika way, then there will be shanti in the society. So, all these things, what we are talking about now, this is not my concoction or somebody else's concoction. It is, all you have to read is these verses and look into the world, and you will see that what Krishna calls it as satyam, rajasam, tamasam, that effect of the rajasic knowledge, how it is changing the society. Our modern civilization is very much based on this rajasic jnana. It is rajasam, it is. It is not satyam, and therefore problem. Therefore, every level there is problem. In every level there is problem. And you can see everything is breaking up. The fabric of the whole country is breaking up. The society is breaking up. Family is breaking up. Everything breaking up. Nothing is working. And everyone is completely perplexed, not knowing what to do and what to say about it. Neither the leaders know what the solution is, nor the public know about it, isn't it? So anyway, Krishna says here, bahulayasa. Bahulayasa means everything is done with a lot of effort, isn't it? So whatever karma that is executed in that way, rajasam udahridam. Krishna says it is rajasam. There is not a lot of explanation to this verse necessary, because all you have to do is take these three things. Kamepsuna karmam sahangaram eva kriyate bahulayasam. Look at these three factors and look into the world. And if you are little bit able to analyze it, you will know it's no different from what Krishna has spoken here. Whatever society is today, there's practically no difference at all. So that's all it is. Let's look at the next verse.
Anubandham kshayam himsa. Anapekshaja paurusham. Mohadarabhyade karma. Yattattama samuchyade. Anubandham kshayam himsa. Anapekshaja paurusham. Mohadarabhyade karma. Yattattama samuchyade.
That is the tamasic karma. Now, Krishna is going to tell us three things, isn't it? First is, he talks about the jnanam. Then he talks about the karma. Then he talks about the karta, the doer. All three of them under three different modes. Jnanam in satika rajasa tamasam. Karmam satika rajasa tamasam. And then karta satika rajasa tamasam. And it is important to know this, because when you know these things, then you won't be confused about life. Why it is happening? Answer is there. Because we don't accept what Krishna is saying. Therefore we have this, all this problem. Rishis who have given us this, they knew all these rajasic nature, tamasic nature, everything very well. Anubandham kshayam himsa anabekshaja paurusham. Moha arabhyade karma yata tamasamuchyade. Krishna says that action performed in illusion, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage, or for violence or distress caused to others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So, in the earlier we have said that in the rajasam karmam, what we have seen was, if you are expecting the results, and if there is ego behind it, that is rajasam. That's rajasam. That there, Krishna used the word sahangarena vapuna. Ahangaram should not be there in the karma. Now, particularly, those who are followers of the Vedic philosophy, it is important for them that this ahangaram does not pop up inside. Because freedom from ahankaram, freedom from ego, is a very, very basic requirement in life. freedom from the ego. Because if you have some knowledge of the self, knowledge of Atma, Brahmajnanam or Brahmavidya, there should not be any ahankaram inside. That is expected. And therefore, because there is no ahankaram, his karmam becomes a lot easier. You know, when karmam gets difficult, when there is a lot of ego behind it, isn't it? Suppose you have a lot of ego, I am doing it, I am the one who is doing it. And if that kartrutvam is very strong, or ahankaram is, kartrutvam is ahankaram, or kartrutvam is very strong, that I am the doer, then the karmam will become very, very big struggle. Karmam will become a big struggle. So that is what Krishna is saying, that the kriyate bahulayasam. Therefore, if you have a spiritual knowledge, and if you have knowledge of the self, for him karmam should not be a big endeavor. It won't be a big endeavor. And it will not be a big struggle either. Satyasya abhi karmanaha analpavit sahangaraha karta kim udarajata tamasayoho. So, a person who is in the mode of goodness, his karmam, if that gets difficult, then what to talk about one who is in rajasam and tamasam? That's the question here. If you have sattvic nature means no niyadam sangarahidam aragadveshada kridam. That is sattvic. That means sangarahidam it is, and there is no ragadvesham. Therefore, karmam gets through very easily without too much effort. The karmam gets through very easily through that person. Sangarahidam aragadveshada kridam. Aragadveshada kridam. But if it becomes egoistic karmam, karmam with a lot of ego behind it, and with a lot of drive and ambition and desire behind it, kamepsuna karmam sahangarena vapuna, if it is like that, kriyate bahulayasam, that karmam will become a very struggle, and lot of effort and endeavor will be required. You can observe this in the people. If you see sometimes, you see certain people, when they do their karmam, you will see they will make it very difficult. Very difficult. And you will start wondering, and they call it efficiency. Isn't it? They bring efficiency into it. And they'll say, he is very committed to the work. And he'll get so absorbed in the work, he's not able to handle that karmam in a relaxed way. Why? Because of the ahankaram behind and the drive behind it. That's what makes up. And sometimes it's difficult because those persons, they have to go through that phase to understand that. If you tell them anything, nothing will get inside. But when they get through that life for some time, and then they get started getting exhausted, then they will realize karmam is not meant for destroying us. It's never meant for that, to destroy us. Karmam is not meant for destroy us. All that karmam is there is only that prarabdham is coming to us. And it has to go through this body somehow. That's all it is. But if it is getting a big struggle and big endeavor, that means there is this ahankaram behind it and also drive or ambition or desire behind it. That's why it's getting a struggle. Karmam and kriyate bahulayasam. So, loge analtmavit abhishrotriyo nirahangaram uchyade nirahangaramayam brahmanaha idi tasmatada vekshaya eva sahangarenava idi uktam puna shabdaha padapuranartaha. Now, a person who has knowledge of the self, if he has knowledge of the self, then karmam should not be a struggle. That is the important principle. Because he has knowledge of the self, when we say knowledge of the self means he knows Bhagavad Gita well. That is the important thing. He will know that Bhagavad Gita is saying these three different categories of karmam, three different categories of the doer, three different categories of the knowledge. If all this is working inside, then in his karmam also he will be very relaxed. He won't make it a struggle from that karmam. So, suppose you don't have the knowledge of the self. Suppose you have no idea about three modes of nature and its impact on us. In that situation, so what will happen? Kriyate bahulayasam. That means his karma will be a big endeavor. Bahulayasam. Kartra mahata ayasena nruvartyade tal karma rajasam udahridam. And therefore it is called rajasam. Therefore it is called rajasam. So after that rajasam, Krishna mentions now, അനുബന്ധം ക്ഷയം ഹിംസ അനപേക്ഷിച്ച പൗരുഷം മോഹ ആരഭ്യതേ കർമ്മം എത്ര താമസം ഉച്ചത. ദ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് താമസി കർമ്മം, നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദി താമസി കർമ്മം. താമസി കർമ്മം, ദ വെരി നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ദർ ഈസ് നോ തിങ്കിങ് ബിഫോർ ദാറ്റ്, ബിഫോർ ഡൂയിങ് ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ വെരി നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദി താമസിക് വേ ഓഫ് ഡൂയിങ് തിങ്സ്. ഹി വോണ്ട് തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് ദി ആഫ്റ്റർ ഇഫക്ട് ഓഫ് ദി കർമ്മം. ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ഹി വുഡ് നോട്ട് തിങ്ക് ദി ആഫ്റ്റർ ഇഫക്ട് ഓഫ് ദി കർമ്മം. ഹി വിൽ നോട്ട് തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഹൗ ഹി ഈസ് ഡിസ്ട്രോയിങ് തിങ്സ് വെൽത്ത് ഇൻ ദ പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് ദി കർമ്മം. He will not destroy, think about what impact it has got on others. They won't. This is all rajasam tamasam. Sometimes it happens in that way. For example, when you can see this, if you look into the what they call the developing economy, that's what they call nowadays, isn't it? We are all developed, and you're going to make others also develop like the way we have developed. That's the plan behind it. So in the developing economy, what happens is, they were living in one way till now. Now we are telling them, no, this is not the way how you live. You should have your GDP going up every year. How much is the growth, they ask? 8% or 10%? If you are doing 8%, 10%, you are okay. But if it goes to 3, 4%, they say something wrong with your economy. So what happens then? These big, huge industrial corporations move in and they completely shake the whole society to establish their factories and their development plans, new ideas, new technologies coming in. And these poor village people and those who are living in very simple life in the villages, they cannot cope with all these things. So suddenly one morning you find their helicopters landing, their CEO or chief executive landing there with a group of advisors and consultants. They survey the land and they say that these people who are living there, so far they lived peacefully in their own land, they said they all have to move from there. Why? Because we start mining here now. We have to develop the industry, isn't it? So like this, big changes are happening in huge way in the big, big societies. This is a common feature now. You're not conscious of that very much. But if you are sensitive to it, you will know these things. And the village people who had no idea what is coming for them, they couldn't catch up with that. So that's why it says here, the corporations don't think about that. They say, we'll move them from here to somewhere else. There's another land somewhere else we buy. Pick them up from here and put them there. Give them some houses to live there and let them continue with their life. Why? Because there is something underneath the ground where we have to get it out from there to make money, so that our GDP goes up. So these kind of, not thinking about the after effect of what they are doing, what impact it has on the society, and only concerned about their own selfish interests, all this is fully driven by that. Any karmam that is executed is tamasam. Is tamasam. Idanam kartruvedam uchyate. In this way, three kinds of karmam Krishna has spoken about. So, this after effect of this karma, Krishna says, after effect of this karma. So, you can see, one thing you have to realize also here, that in this world, any karma when you execute, you have to remember this, that when you are born here, Krishna has put a sticker on us. Like you go to the supermarket and when you buy things, he puts a sticker sometimes. This is free, isn't it? You buy 2, 1, get 1 free in that way. You put a sticker there. Similarly, the sticker what Krishna has put us on that is that if you live in this world, you will get a lot of distress here. You will get a lot of distress. That's that sticker Krishna has put. So, with that sticker we have come here to this world. We have come here. So, and to get that distress, you don't have to pay anything. That's free. You don't have to pay anything for that. It's free. So, when you are born here, dukkham or distress is the one thing that's given free, without asking for that. And you don't have to struggle for that. And so similarly, therefore, every karmam when you do in this world, the byproduct of that karmam, there will be distress. There will be distress. And sometimes, the byproduct that comes from the karmam will be more distressful than the karmam itself. Only rishis have thought about, if you have the time and if you can analyze it in this way, in the way rishis have analyzed it, what they are saying to us is, dukkham will be there in this world. We have to accept that when we come here. That's all on offer here, distress. But sometimes, this distress will be after effect of the karmam, will be much more powerful than the karmam itself. Karmam won't be a struggle, but the after effect of the karmam will be much more distressful to us. So karmam you have done, and you got some happiness out of that karmam, but the byproduct will come later. Byproduct will come later, and that's free. That is free. And when that comes, it will give you, make you think, what did I gain from all this? It will make you think at that time. So, that is the nature of a person who has this knowledge. Which one? Tamasam. Tamasic nature, karmam, is like that. He will do things, and somehow he gets some happiness out of it. But there will be something in waiting, the byproduct or after effect of that karma, which will catch up later in a big way. For example, we are mentioning this, working unusual hours, extra hours in life, and more than what's necessary to maintain this body, due to the prarabdham, in some way it happens that way. And then you see that after 20, 30 years your health is gone completely. You haven't got any energy to do anything else. Everything finished in life. Or, due to the various ways, you can analyze it in your own way, because it's not a personal thing, but what I'm trying to say is, if you look back into our own life, you can see that a life should have been much more peaceful and happier. That happiness has been taken away from life. Everything is there, but there is no shanti in life. There's no shanti in life. So, not thinking any of these things, the rishis are very thoughtful people. They knew that if you move from the track of dharmam and move from the track of satya nature, what is on offer is rajasam, tamasam. And the after effect of that will be very distressful. And therefore they warned that don't do certain things. Don't engage in vikarmam. In the modern world, there is no consideration whether it is a vikarmam or not. Is it not? If it is making money, go ahead and do it. That's the attitude. Everything, when you look around, that's what you find. And it's very painful to notice that the after effect, when it comes, everything breaks up. Society breaks up, family breaks up, children suffering, parents suffering, old members of the family suffering, women suffering, everybody suffers in that process. And we think, what is that progress what we were talking about? Where is the progress? What we are so proudly declaring to the world, progress, progress, and which we want to engage the whole world in that process. So, so Krishna is saying that here, that when the after effect comes, it will give you a lot of pain. It will give you a lot of pain. People don't know how to solve the problem now. That's the situation. And you are continuously seeing programs based on this principle, how society has broken up, totally broken into pieces, shattered completely. And they don't know how to fix it now. This is the situation. Every time when there is a problem, what the government says is that, oh, we'll give them £20 a week or £30 a week. This is the answer to all the problems. Problem is much more deep rooted in the psyche of the society. They're caught into this mess. And what their government is saying is that if I give them £20 a week, or £30 a week, the problem is solved. It's not solved. Children without parents, single mothers, so many problems coming up all around the society. And this is spreading all over the world as well. Wherever there was some peace, somewhere else, where they lived in shanti and little bit peaceful state, even that's also gone. And we say to them that if you don't follow this, you are not developing. We are developed and they are developing. This is the ignorance behind all these things. Can you imagine that? So this Rajasa Tamasam society, what else can you expect? That's what Krishna is saying here also. So then, is there any wonder? It is all coming out in different forms. Therefore, people are willing to plant the bomb somewhere, blast the places up, and everywhere there's fighting, arguments, fighting going on. Rashtriyam or politics also goes in the same way. And every time there is a, what they call as the hartal or band or something like that is going on. So nobody thinks about any of these things, isn't it? So anyway, what is important here is that tamasa karmam, that's what Krishna is saying here. That means without thinking what these actions will, our actions, what it will create on the society, without thinking. And the modern society is so crooked, especially these modern big industrial corporations, what they do, you can see this all the time happening, that they will first advertise how environmental friendly they are. Because they knew the next thing what they are going to do is one of the most ugragarbham in this world. So first they will project themselves as the environmental friendly people in this world. So they spend money on that. That propaganda starts first. And then the next thing, all the rivers are polluted. All the hills and mountains, forests have been cleared up. And everywhere the society has been told that how to exploit the material nature as much as possible. As much as possible. So therefore, now they are saying that the temples have to be destroyed, you have to build the factories. And to that extent it has gone in their heads. To temples which were there for thousands of years, which the rishis have installed, the deities and worship, people live peacefully with those temples. They are saying if they are on the way in developing the motorway or the airports or the industrial sites, then they have to go because we need this for our GDP to go. This is the head working behind it. This is the society. So Rajasam, Tamasam. Tamasam, there is no solution to all these problems till the society themselves come out of this on their own. They have to free themselves. So without thinking about it, what they are doing, what's the after effect of that, and creates a lot of destruction and destroy in the society. On the one hand, you are trying to develop the society. On the other hand, for the very society whom you are trying to develop gets destroyed in that process. The members of the society. So many psychological problems in the family members, in the society, comes out of all these kind of things. So, and plus also, it is this kind of rajasic, tamasic activities that increases the consumption of the alcohol, cigarettes, meat, and all other things as well. So, once it, there was a cartoon they showed on the paper. One man, he is sitting in the middle of the road and he was smoking cigarette, and then the smoke was coming through the different nostrils and the mouth, everything. He was like, so one dog was standing next to him and looking at him like this. Dog is finding it very interesting, seeing the smoke coming through different holes in the body. He was fine. So imagine the state that, because even animals don't do these things. Even animals don't do these things. And if they find strange with this species. Looking at this species, they are finding it very funny. We are thinking we are very intelligent people, isn't it? We are very intelligent. But I don't know what the dog is thinking about us. We only say, oh, it's like a dog, we say. About the dog, after all, it's a dog. But what is the dog thinking about us? That we never ask that question, is it not? So that animal, he is more peaceful and shanti in him, in his life. He lives his life, he gets his food somewhere, eats it, and goes through his karma in that way, finishes life and goes away. Doesn't do any damage in this world to anybody else. Seriously, isn't it? So he is living much more peacefully than us. He doesn't need a hospital, he doesn't need a gynecologist or anything for delivery of the baby, nothing like that. He lives his life very peacefully and gets away from here. Somewhere he gets his food, and somewhere he lives and he passes away from here. And while leaving this body also, he leaves this world easily. We give all this effort and time and energy and everything, still we are not finding any peace in this world. Peace in this world. We got all these hospitals, all these specialists there, pediatricians and gynecologists and this and that, so many other things. And after the marriage, we can't even have the baby at the right time or properly in that way. There's a specialist required. And all so many complications, you have to look at it in a different way. What the science has contributed, so-called science, what they have contributed to the society. Before all these things developed, people were not having children in this world, where the families were not living in this world. But now we have made it so complex and complicated that we ourselves do not know that where is this all going to. So specialized jobs, everything is so specialized now, isn't it? All it has injected into our mind is a lot of fear. Lot of fear in ourselves, this modern way of life. Is it not? It's created a lot of fear. If you look into one or two generations before, you will see older people, they didn't have fear like us, like the way we are fearing today. We are so fearful about everything, about the job, about our health, about our survival in this world, and always fearful in all directions. Whereas the few generations before, they also lived in this world, but they didn't have any of this kind of fear to the extent what we have today. What is important, why we are saying all these things, is to be aware that we haven't achieved anything from all these things. We haven't achieved anything. It's all an illusion, thinking that we have progressed and we have a lot of achievement and this, that and the other. All this is nothing but an illusion. That is what Krishna is saying here. But nothing can be changed because anubandham, Krishna says a word that anubandham kshayam, that means body will get destroyed. Anubandham and kshayam, body is meant to be destroyed. So, and plus the kind of karma what we do in this world, due to that also body will get destroyed. One person said, some people don't take any food. There's always some news like that in the paper, you'll find sometimes. Some people who don't take any food, they live in this world. Not due to spiritual life, but some kind of siddhi they have. No, they can live like that without consumption of any food. And there are people who have not taken food or water for many, many years in life, and they're still living in this world. Especially you'll see them in the Himalayas and places like that. Due to their siddhi, that through the yoga practices, they have developed that habit. So, they can take from the nature, from the prakriti, what they need for their survival, from the air. They are able to take that. So, sometimes people say that Lord Shiva took poison, didn't he? And he didn't die. That's their logic. He didn't die. So, so one sannyasi said to them, Yeah, we are all like Lord Shiva now, because we are also every day taking this poison, coffee, tea, Coca-Cola, so many things are going inside. We are not dying. So practically we have got the same capacity like Lord Shiva now. That there's not much difference what we are taking from the world outside, isn't it? So, so why we are taking that? Because people's body can be maintained even with very limited, minimum things, but we make it like this, that complicated way we try to maintain this body. And once you get used to certain things, then you feel the need for having that also. So, if you are getting any good effect from that, it's very difficult to say, because only thing what you know is the health is concerned. It's a serious issue at that time. And Krishna is saying here, anubandham kshayam. Kshayam means the body will get destroyed in that process. In that process. And also, due to certain karma in this world, you will get exhausted. You will get exhausted. Body will wear out. Like working in the night, long distance flying and things like that. It will destroy the body. So, similarly, himsa. Krishna says there, that anubandham kshayam himsa. Himsa means that giving pain to other living entities to maintain this body. Meat means eating flesh, meat, and fish, and things like that. So, but because of the changes in the society and consumerism has gone, has increased so much, we have accepted all that as proper, is it not? That's what we find in the supermarkets and everywhere when you go, you see that how it is marketed in a particular way that people don't find any difficulty in accepting this kind of food, not knowing that what Krishna says here is that such kind of food will create tamasa jnanam inside. Tamasa karmam, tamasa jnanam will come. It facilitates. It facilitates tamasa jnanam, tamasa karmam. That kind of food. So, 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 and you can see that how the slaughter of the animals for this purpose, how it carries on. In India it is very open when they slaughter the animals, how it is taken in the huge trucks when they taken on the roads to the slaughterhouses, isn't it? Here it's all very much covered up. Nothing you can see here. You think everything is very peaceful, isn't it? All you have to do is to go and look into one of these slaughterhouses where hundreds and thousands of cows are slaughtered week after week. And the technology they have used to make that killing very easier. They say that without having the pain to feel, for animals not to feel the pain, they have developed the technology in that way and to tell the world how everything is very well done in an efficient way, but at the same time not realizing that engaging in that karma, that society has to pay for it sometime or the other, that after effect of that. So this is the modern civilization. That's all we can say about it. Modern civilization is rajasam, tamasam. And all Krishna is saying here is, if you go through this kind of rajasic, tamasic way of life, you will pay a very, very, very heavy price for it. There is no doubt about that. And that will come in the form of war. Your diplomacy and all other things won't work there. Prabhupada once many, many times, he said when Krishna, when it becomes unbearable, he said he will create the fight between the people and make them to kill each other. That is how the wars begin, isn't it? So, if that happens and if that permeates a whole society in that way, it will even come to the field of spiritual life also. If spiritual life is not free from these problems, it will come to spiritual life also. So therefore you will see here that alcohol sales is built up in India now like anything. In the past people had a little shyness to go to a shop to buy alcohol. That's gone now. Completely gone. If you see how disciplined they are when they are queuing up there to buy alcohol, even in the temple, that discipline is not there. In temple, you are pushing and shoving. But there, when you look into the way they queue up to buy alcohol, because after working the week, when they get their wages, they have the money on the Friday or Saturday. So the shops are busy on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And you go to these big alcohol shops, big cities as well as now even in the small towns and villages, they have to queue up to buy because so much demand for that and the amount of alcohol that's being consumed in that way. So that whole after effect of that, you can imagine, there is no money goes home after that. Money spent on alcohol. Family broken up. Fight, quarrel, and all these things, one after the other, comes from that within the family. The man who is supposed to support the family, he becomes a liability for the family, who cannot. Then the wife has to go out to work. The children have to go to work. All complicated situation develops from that. So Krishna is saying here that in this way, if you allow the rajasam and tamasam, that is important point. If rajasam and tamasam increases in a society, the byproduct or the after effect of that will be disastrous for the whole society. So, and rishis' samskaram, what they have given us, that's been completely given up. Marriages are performed, alcohol is served in the marriages. Alcohol is served in the marriages. And meat is served in the marriages. Marriage is supposed to be the one auspicious thing in life, what they do in their life. Even in that auspicious occasion, this is what is happening there. So, even on one day, when you feel that you should not, on that particular day at least, to refrain from that find it very, very difficult. Somebody asked Narayana Guru that what is the harm in killing these cows? What's harm to eat them? And so Narayana Guru asked him, Are you not drinking their milk? You're not drinking their milk. So what's the harm in killing them and eating them? That's his question. Narayana Guru says, have you got a mother? He said. He says, no, mother died, he said. So did you eat them? Did you eat the mother? He asked her. His question was that, did you eat your mother? He said. So, what we know about the mother is only this much. Mother is giving milk, and child is thinking, child identifies the mother. How does the child identify the mother? Through the milk, isn't it? What comes from the mother? That's the first identification with the connection with the child establishes with the mother is through the milk, what he gets, isn't it? And up to 4 or 5 years old, they keep drinking this milk. And they're saying that cow, which is giving, after that, it is dependent on the cow milk. Is it not? For grown-ups, for adults. So, mothers nurturing the child with the nourishment, after a certain age, is substituted by the cow. Cow's milk is sustaining him or her throughout the life, right up to, even for the older people, milk is necessary. Isn't it? So, and cow on its own is a very satyam animal, that is, in the satyam nature. But no consideration for that. That is what Krishna is saying there. Anapekshaja paurusham, that word. Anapekshaja paurusham. If the karma what we are doing, in that if there is himsa, is there himsa in there? He won't think about that. And is it proper to do that? They won't think about that. Like we mentioned that story, Uttarakumara went with Pandavas to fight the war. And how capable he was, or his heroic nature was, such that he couldn't fight the war. But he didn't think anything about it. He immediately got up and said, I'll fight with them. Uttarakumara said to the Pandavas, and to Arjuna. Arjuna was there as Brihannala at that time. So, in a similar way, this tamasic jnanam is like that he wouldn't think very much before he does anything. Mohad arabhyade karmam. Only moham, illusion inside, abhimanam, ahankaram, and because of all that, and the illusion inside, you can see this in many, many people, they will continue doing certain businesses in this world only due to their ego inside, and ultimately everything collapses and they go away. Why did you start all these things? If you couldn't do it, why did you do that? If you ask that question, if you say that, its only answer is ahankaram inside. Mohad arabhyade karmam. And many moham, due to moham, they start many different kinds of industries and business in this world, and they will try to change this world. And whether I have got the capacity for doing that or Krishna has given me the strength for doing such a business, they won't think about that. That's what he's saying here. Mohad arabhyate karmam yatat tamasam uchyate. Yatat tamasam uchyate. Krishna calls it as tamasa karmam. Tamasa karmam. So, you can understand now what is satya karmam, what is rajasa karmam, what is tamasa karmam. Three things what we have now spoken. After this, Krishna is going now to talk about the doer in the three modes. Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. That is the next verse. So, first Krishna spoke about karmam in the first 18 verses in this chapter. It's all about karmam, isn't it? Karmam. And karmam, so many aspects Krishna has discussed there. Then Krishna spoke about jnanam under three modes, Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Then Krishna spoke again karmam under three modes, Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Now Krishna is going to talk about the doer, karta or doer, under Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. If you study all these things, what will happen is, you will understand that what should be the consciousness of a person who is in the Satvikam. Because only in Satvikam any possibility of spiritual understanding or knowledge will come to a person. That Krishna has made it very clear in the Ekadasha Skandham, is it not? Satval Sanjayade Jnanam. If you want Jnanam, Satvam. Satvanam is the only way where Jnanam will come. And because karmam is a major part of our life, in every way, is it not? Karmam is a major part of our life. So that karmam, if it is not in sattvagunam, if the doer is not in sattvagunam, if the knowledge is not in sattvagunam, where will be that person? That is what is the indication here. So, this chapter you will see, again, Krishna will say, other factors which contributes, intelligence. How intelligence in sattvagunam, intelligence in rajogunam, intelligence in tamogunam. In one way, earlier chapter, you remember, Krishna spoke three modes of material nature. Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, that was. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. So there we have, Krishna generally spoke about three gunam, three modes of nature. Generally. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Here, in relationship with the karmam, how this Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa will affect you in your life. That's what's going on. So, as much as we understand Bhagavad Gita, you will see a clarity will come within. You don't have to ask anybody after that, something is Rajasam, Satvikam, Tamasam. This clarity will keep coming within us. And it will also make us aware, in order to develop Satvika Jnanam and Satvika Karmam, is necessary to withdraw from the world to a large extent. Otherwise it will be very, very difficult. We can't have Rajasic nature in us and develop Satvika Jnanam. It won't happen. So, let us look at that verse, 26th verse. Idanim kartrutvedam uchyate. Muktasango anaham vadi. Drityulsaha samanvitaha Siddhya siddhyor nirvigaraha Karta satvika muchyate Mukta sango anaham vadi Dridhi ulsaha samanvitaha Siddhya siddhyor nirvigaraha Karta sattvika muchyate. That's it. Mukta sangam anaham vadi dridhi ulsaha samanvitaha siddhya asiddhyor nirvigaraha karta sattvika muchyate. Krishna is saying, That means, because he has not attachment to the karma, he has no attachment to the karma, and he has no attachment to the results either, neither. No attachment to the karma, no attachment to the results. And he also does not have the habit of saying, it's me who is doing it, I am the doer, or it's mine. This habit is not there in him. Such a person, he does the karma with courage and with enthusiasm. Such a person, you can observe that he is in the sattvika karma. Sattvika kartava. He is a person who does the, he is the doer who is doing the karma in the mood of sattvagunam. In the mood of sattvagunam. Very interesting things. Mukta sango anaham vadi. That's the interesting thing. Mukta sango mukta parityaktaha sango yenasa mukta sangaha. In other words, karma, he has no attachment to the karma. He has no attachment to the results of the karma either. Neither in the karma he has any attachment, nor in the results of the karma he has any attachment. He doesn't say, I have done it, I am doing it, I am the one who is doing it. And he doesn't say that it's mine, it's my effect of my karma. All these things you won't see in him. And he is able to do without that habit, but at the same time, he will see the enthusiasm in him to do it, and boldly, very courageously, with a lot of enthusiasm, he will do his karma, what has to be done, and he knows where to leave it also. Such a person, when you see, Krishna is saying that he has done it, he is a karta, who is in the mood of sattva gunam, isn't it? So, here, he says, one who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mood of goodness. In the mood of goodness. So, there, first thing is, he says, Muktasangaha. Muktasangaha means he is free from the attachment to the karma. He has got that freedom. No attachment to the karma. He is doing it, but he has no attachment to the karma. And anahamvadi, another word Krishna used there, I have done this, I have not done that, I need this, I don't need this, all these kind of things is not there in him. In other words, there is no ego operating at any level while executing the karma. Driji ulsaham samanyudaha. At the same time, he is very energetic in doing things. And he will only try to do as much as possible in activities which are very auspicious to the world. His activities will be very auspicious to the world. And if you ask him, do you want the results to come? Siddhya asiddhyo nirvigaraha. That is what Krishna is saying there. The nature of that person is siddhya asiddhyo nirvigaraha. If the result come or results don't come, nirvigaraha. Nirvigara means he does not get any kind of effect from that. The best example is Krishna himself. How he executed Krishna's karma, if you look. Very interesting, isn't it? How Krishna executed his karma. Always working. Krishna is always working, engaged in karma. Throughout life, if you see Krishna, he was busy in the karma. And something or the other always going on. Whether it was in Vrindavanam or Mathura or in Dwaraka, all places, Krishna was always very, very, very active. Always active, isn't it? And dridi ulsaha samanyudaha, he says here. And at the same time, very energetic and enthusiastic, but at the same time, there is no connection anywhere. Siddhya asiddur nirviharaha. Any results come from that, whether then is good or bad, unaffected by that. Karta satyam uchyate. Such a person is in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness. The only person who smiled after the Mahabharata war was Krishna. Not affected by anything. Karma has come, passed through. Ideal person to look for, because why Krishna is called Jagadguru? Krishna said to this Narada Maharshi, to whatever I have spoken, Krishna says, I have shown this in my life, it is possible. I was not just preaching to the world. Whatever I have preached to the world, spoken to this world, while I, through my own life, I have shown to this world it is possible to do that. That was Krishna's best success in life, isn't it? Who else could do that? Even so many instances in the Mahabharata, when you read, you will see there Krishna smiling in different instances. When Abhimanyu was killed, Abhimanyu was the only son, isn't it? Abhimanyu was the only son. So when Abhimanyu was killed, how everybody felt? And a lot of people asked Krishna, you could have saved him, couldn't you, if you wanted? Abhimanyu could have been saved. But Krishna decided, no. That was the decision. I never felt regretted about it. Same thing with Panjali's children also. They were meant to die, they should go. Higher reasons Krishna understands. We don't understand that. We were looking at it from the mundane level. And Krishna was saying that, because from Krishna's point of view, they should go. They have to go. Krishna's brothers, we only say Krishna has only one brother, Balaram, isn't it? But that's not true. Krishna had so many other brothers also. You will see their names mentioned there. Kamsa killed them all before. They were Krishna's, before they were born from Devaki Devi, is it not? So they are Krishna's brothers, in other words. There were six of them before Kamsa has cut them off, isn't it? And in front of Vasudeva and Devaki, they were killed by Kamsa. So Krishna could have prevented that, couldn't he, if he wanted? No. That has to happen, it has to happen. And when he went to Mahabali, to Sutalam, to bring them back, he says to Mahabali, my brothers were here, who have come. And they are here. Mahabali said, I don't know who they are, where they are. No. Krishna says, I got their address. Get them all here now. And he bring them back and present them to Devaki Devi. And Devaki Devi, after seeing those children, her mother feeling started coming out. She wanted to breastfeed them. And they are gone from this world so long ago. Krishna created that feeling in Devaki's heart. Parikshit Maharaj asked, what a funny thing this is. That those, they were dead and gone long ago, and Krishna has brought them back, and Devaki Devi is feeling some motherly affection for those children. Parikshit asked, how could this happen? Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, you don't know. Yaya srishti pravartade. That is how creation goes on in this world. Otherwise creation cannot happen. So when Krishna decides to induce that affection in the mother, then creation will go on like this. And similarly, all these relationships in the world, among the human society, all other societies also, is coming from that maya what Krishna puts on us. When Krishna puts us through that, we feel attached to home, attached to family, attached to children, attached to parents. And then, yaya srishti pravartade, this is how srishti goes on. Creation goes on in this world, he says like that. So, all mahatmas, great souls, if you look at them, you will see there, they'll continuously do karmam. Karmam was never stopped. They carried on doing the karmam, but no sangam anywhere. That was their success. So, if you ask the question whether they derived any benefit from that, or have they got the results from that, or they didn't do it thinking that somebody will give them an award or any kind of special things. No. Anaham vadi, Krishna says there. Isn't it? Siddha siddhyor nirvigaram karta satyam muchade. Earlier he said, anaham vadi. There is a verse before, he mentions there that Mukta Sango Anaham Vadi. That verse 26. Mukta Sango Anaham Vadi. Anaham Vadi means never makes any claim that I am doing that. Ravindranath Tagore went to see Narayana Guru and they had a meeting each other. At that time, when the Tagore came to see Narayana Guru was in his ashram. He was sitting there and he had closed his door of the room and he was sitting inside at that time. When Narayana Guru was absorbed in his dhyanam, meditations, he used to close the door and he used to give the instructions to others not to open the door and disturb him. When Tagore came, exactly at the time when Tagore arrived, he came and opened the door. Narayana Guru came and opened the door. Tagore says, when he saw Narayana Guru, what a divine vision he exceeded. The eyes of Narayana Guru, his realized the soul's eyes, and that vision itself was, he explains this, Tagore writes about that. So Narayana Guru says to him, when Tagore mentions this to him, that the vision what he had, that I don't do anything particularly here, that nothing I am doing, and I cannot do anything either, he says. Nothing else, he said. I am not doing anything, and I can't do anything either. And that is what jnani situation always. All realized people, they are in that state. They will never say they are doing anything, or they won't make any claim that they are the doers. This you will notice with them. Whereas normally how people, I have done this, I have done that, I got so much to do. You always say like that, isn't it? I have got so much to do. And this all repeatedly it comes, I, in everything what we do, is it not? So in jnani's activities, you won't see this. They are relaxed about everything. Karma is coming through them. They are fully conscious that they are not doing it. They are not doing it. So jnani's state is like that. That is what Krishna is saying here. A proper karta, one who does in the mode of goodness, is anahamvadi. Anaham, not ahamvadi, anahamvadi. I am not the doer. I am not the doer. He is so fixed in that he is not doing anything. If it happens, it happens. That's his nature. So, they are not saying that due to their humility. You have to remember that. They are not saying that due to their humility, but due to their knowledge, they are saying that. Not due to humility, but due to knowledge. This awareness of this, what Krishna has spoken here. So, in reality, because reality is that we are not doing anything. We are not doing anything. That is the tattvam. Because, remember, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That is the earlier chapter, Krishna says that. That kartaham iti manyate comes from ahangaram. Is it not? Due to ahangaram, I am thinking I am the doer. But because jnani has no ahangaram, he does not think like that any time. Any karma, he never takes any ownership of any karma in his life. That is jnani's state, jnani's position. So, it's not due to humility, it is due to knowledge. It's due to knowledge. But you will see, dhridi ulsaha samanyudaha. Krishna says, second line, dhridi ulsaha samanyudaha. At the same time, jnanis are not lazy. Karma is going on all the time, something or the other. If you read through their life in this world, you will see many of them were like that, always busy doing something, karma. You can see Prabhupada's life itself, always busy, is it not? Never for a moment wasted, continuously engaged in karma. And whatever karma that is coming, they will take it and do it without any laziness in that. Dhridi ulsaha samanyudaha. After effects, not thinking about it. What happens after that? And similarly, you can see Maharshi's case also. Ravana Maharshi's case, he used to get up. After finishing all his morning duties, he would go to the kitchen, cutting the vegetables, cooking prasadam for others. All these kind of things he used to do, looking after the animals in the ashram, cows, peacocks, and so many other animals he was having them there. They all come, monkeys, cats, so many animals. He used to make sure that every one of them were fed. And along with that, and in a very higher state of self-realization, this was happening in his life. You read through, you will see all these things happening. So, whatever I had to do, they did that. Whatever they had to do, they did that. And their own lifetime, if you see, you will see, they have done many activities and many people have come to them closer. They also got inspired by seeing that. And without their instructions, others followed them. Others also got inspired by that and they started following them. And there was no time they were thinking that that when things were happening like this, many of them said that when disasters were happening, they were saying that that is the nature of the world, we can't say anything about it. Karma's nature also we have to understand. In this discussion between Narayana Guru and Tagore, it mentions also like this, that dhruti ulsaha samanyidaha. Narayana Guru's time, when he was there, when he lived a life like that, many others who followed him, they were also inspired by his way of life. And at the same time, a lot of calamities were happening in the world. And then he said, he explained about that to them, saying to them that that is the nature of the world, you can't change it. That anything you cut, it will grow again. So when they asked him that sometimes you are doing certain karma, but sometimes the results are not very good, that's come from that. So his answer was, that is the nature of the world. To such a finer level, to understand karma is very, very difficult for us, isn't it? What we know about karma means we should do something and we should get a result. That's all we know about karma. But jnanis and the realized persons, when they analyze karma, what they see there is, while executing the karma, they are conscious of the principles behind it. Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasa, number one. They will not have the ownership of the karma, like in the way it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. They won't have the ownership of the karma. And not only that, when the results come from the karma, they would not, even if it is disaster, or even if it is negative, it will not affect them. Because they are saying, explaining like this, he said, it's like the hair. If you keep on cutting, it will keep on growing. You keep on growing. And similarly, karma also, if you try to make it perfect, what will happen is, you will get more implicated. This is the difficulty with karma. Therefore, what you have to do, you do it and you go. That's all. Don't try to make it to that perfection. It will not happen. And that is what Krishna is also saying here. Dhruti, that word dhruti. Dhruti ulsaha samanyidaha. And he also, siddhya asiddhyor nirvigaraha. He says here, that siddhya asiddhyor, you won't think about all that. It's just like in case of Gandhiji. If you look Gandhiji's autobiography, if you read, you will see there. When Gandhiji was working for independence time, people asked him that, would India get independence any time? They asked this question. Gandhiji says, I never thought about it, he said. That was his answer. I never thought about it. Then why you are doing this, they asked him. Because he was doing all sorts of funny things at that time. Gandhiji's life and activities were such, you couldn't understand that satyagraham, and then the niraharam, and all sorts of things what he was planning at that time, way of life. There was no army to fight any empire like that, British Empire at that time. And he lived a life of a very saintly person, and you won't see any connection between that life and getting independence. You couldn't see any connection between that. So many people had this doubt about it. They were asking him, that why you are doing all these things then? Gandhiji says to him, this independence movement is Krishna has put it in front of me. I have been enthused for doing that from inside. Antaryami is giving me the instructions to carry on it. Therefore, I cannot remain without doing that. I am doing that. But I am not anxious about the result, he said. I will carry on doing what I have to do. And so, therefore, his life was a mystery at that time. Even very close associates with him, they could not understand him. They didn't know what he was trying to do. They were all confused. Nehru, Patel and so many others who were with him, they were thinking, what is going through his mind? Because it was not preparing for a war or a battle or any kind of protest. It was a totally saintly activity that he was busy with. And they also could not understand. Sarojini Naidu said one interesting thing about him at that moment. She was a very famous leader who was in the among the so many other leaders who were at that time in the independence movement. So Gandhiji used to have such a simple life, but he wants to have fruit juice in the morning, goat's milk and things like that. He had so many choices in that way. So one Sarojini Naidu was very close to Mahatma Gandhi, and Sarojini Naidu says, you can read that, she says that to keep this person simple life, it costs so much money. She said like that about him, because to get the fruit juice or to get the goat's milk, and that too, he won't take any goat's milk. There was some special goat's category which he wanted, all that. So there's a lot of specialities. You were always very specific about certain things. And she was saying that to keep this simple lifestyle, it costs so much for us to maintain this. Gandhiji wouldn't hear for anything, but it was his nature. That was him. A special person he was in that way. What is important there is to understand that he kept doing what he had to do, and the situation developed in such a way, independence happened. Independence happened from that. So he was a mystery. And for others who were around him, it was... Those who were close to him could not understand. And then British government, they also could not understand him. They also could not understand him. His dresses and his way of speaking and his way of presenting things and that honesty and sincerity in him. All these things has affected so many people. Nobody could understand him, what he was up to. But still, when they asked him that, by being like this, how will the independence come? That's what people ask the question. Independence means we have to take arms and fight. Otherwise, where is independence going to come? Gandhi said, no. I have to do this, I'll do this. What happens later is not my problem. That was his approach. So you can see here, great personalities, they will not consider about this kind of things. That means, not that expecting the result they will do. We do things, everything planned way, isn't it? For us, everything has to be planned and planned and planned. As much planning as possible. So, once it so happened that when this revolution built up in country was burning all over, so many massacres were going on, and so fighting against the authorities, the army was revolting, and small units of revolutionaries were building up at different parts of the country. So, what the government knew at that time, it is him, the man behind everything. They knew that. So what they did was, every time their protests were building up, they locked him up in the prison. So they put him into the prison. So in the prison, you won't get any newspaper. You can't get a newspaper. And those days, newspaper was the only thing through which you could know what's going on inside the country, isn't it? And so newspapers were not allowed. There was no other way of knowing things. So, when he was in the prison, he became sick. He wouldn't eat anything. He refused food. For quite a few days, he won't eat anything. And he lived his life the way he wanted. He was very special that way, person he was. So, naturally, government was worried. If he dies, then that will also be a problem. If you leave him outside, that's a problem. If he dies inside, that's a problem. So, they decided to send a doctor to him to check up with something. And he had such a massive following outside. So when the doctor was going to see him, he thought he will take his newspaper with him. So that they can't question, I'm going to papers, I'm carrying my newspaper, so you can't stop that, the doctor, isn't it? So the doctor took the newspaper there inside. And he thought he will give it to Gandhiji, so Gandhiji could read the newspaper to see what's going on all over the country. Kanji was not interested. He said, no, that's not allowed. Because the law is to show that how truthful he was. You see, how when he say truthful means truthful to 100% in the dealings with others. That purity is very difficult to achieve, isn't it? Most of us will crumble in the first stage itself. But he was so truthful that even the law that was set up by the government, he says, I'll follow that. I'm not against that law. Law is like this, I won't go against the law. And you brought in this, but no, I won't accept that because the law says like this. That's how law abiding he was, in that way. But on the other side, he won't cooperate with anything, what they are saying. So it was a problem for the leaders, how to deal with him. It's become a real problem. So the doctor, what he did, he's not going to accept it. So he left the newspaper on the bed and went away without taking it back. He left. When the next day the doctor came back for the next day for checkup, newspaper was exactly where he left it. Gandhiji says to him, I didn't sleep on the bed yesterday because he left the newspaper there. I slept on the floor. So what do you do? This is that strength inside. That strength inside. So when you understand these things, why they acted in that way, that you may generally have an anxiety when suppose you are thrown into the prison. You'll be concerned about the family, what happened, who is going to care. Nothing like that. For Gandhiji is concerned, absolutely nothing about that. So if you think all those things, then the karmam will not come out well. The karmam will not come out well. So there, this total attention to the karmam, in them you can see. In such personalities, you will see their total attention to the karmam. Total attention to the karmam. You will see what they have to do. They will do it with a complete attention. Complete attention. When Prabhupada was traveling, in many instances, he was going to so many different places. And there are so many opportunities for sightseeing, isn't it? When he came to London also, they were saying to him, let's go do some sightseeing also, why not? That's our nature, isn't it? They were suggesting it. Prabhupada said, no, I not come for sightseeing here. That is that. Total commitment, total attention in what he was doing. Everything you will see in Prabhupada also the same way. That the very nature was, wherever he went, he will stay at the temple and he will make sure that his responsibility towards the devotees and keeping the temple going, that was the priority over everything else. So that kind of commitment in life, karma, that's called dhriti sattvika mucchyate. That dhriti. Dhriti is that nature of a person who is fixed up life. Nowadays they will say different thing. Now it's different. He says, I was hosted by somebody, so I had to go to live with them. That's a modern word, hosting. Sannyasis and gurus, they also say the same thing. Somebody was hosting, I had to go there. Then they say, oh, somebody has taken me to Disneyland, I had to go. That is the difference. You see that difference? That somebody is hosting me, so what can I do? I had to go. And similarly, somebody has taken me to Disneyland or to Niagara Falls, so I had to go. What to do? I didn't want it, but somebody was forcing me to go. So that's why. Somebody is going was hosting me to go on a cruise. I have to go. What else can I do? So this is that difference. So so that kind of nature, Krishna is saying here, when executing karma, two things, that they will execute the karma in such a way that the karma does not affect them, nor at the same time they will make sure that it does not destroy their health, in the way Krishna has spoken before. You can see, Prabhupada used to go out for a walk at 7 o'clock in the morning. When he got sick and they took him to Watford General Hospital, the doctor said to the devotees that the old man is praying too much. That's what they said. So all of them, the sannyasis who were around him, they said to that doctor that he is our leader, who is giving us help in spiritual life and everything. So it is necessary for him to be like that. Prabhupada said, no, he's saying right thing. Next day onwards, he started walking. Prabhupada started walking in the morning. He realized that he had to walk because of this long distance flying and age and the diet, so many things. So that's how morning walk started. At 7 o'clock he used to go. He go for the walk at 6 and then come back at 7. For an hour he used to walk very briskly at that time around the manor in that way. So similarly you will notice this. Ramana Maharshi used to do similar things. In the morning when he gets up, he'll make sure, he'll go to the cow and feed the cow first. And then he'll feed the goats and feed the monkeys and other animals, water cats, whoever was there, they will all be fed. He'll make sure that they've all had their food. Only after that he will eat. Only early there. So, and similarly, even while times of prayer, they are not bothered. The karma will carry on what has to carry on. And so you can notice this. Prabhupada also while walking also he used to discuss things, philosophy and Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Not that, it's a special topic of discussion. I got to the meeting room. Where's the meeting room? I'll go and sit in the meeting room. Close the door and nobody should get inside. And it's a special confidential meeting happening there. There was nothing like that. Because there is a, if we have to discuss something important, or otherwise also, niyata karmam. These are all niyata karmam. What has come through destiny. Animals are with you, you have to look after them. So, that niyata karmam, they will not give up. Sometimes, Gandhiji, it was more interesting in his life, because he was doing it in a big scale, that they used to get letters from here, from the Westminster, at that time when the administration was going on. So, when the letter comes, Nehru and Mahadev Desai and so many other close secretaries who were working with him, they wanted to reply the letter. Because those days things were going very slowly, isn't it? It has to come by sea mail. And the reply by sea mail, that means practically 3-4 weeks goes for the letter to come and the reply to go. So it takes time. So many instances from the administration here, they were asking clarifications on the policy, on the support from the Congress party, Gandhiji's rule, leadership, how much they will help, because war was going on at that time, you have to remember. The Second World War is in the process. At that time, so government was trying to suss out whether Mahatma Gandhi was in agreement with the war or whether we're going to support them in the war and things like that. So a lot of correspondence were going on, a lot of letters were written back and forth between the administration here and Gandhiji. So when the letters come, the leaders used to discuss about the letter and they want finally approval from Gandhiji, how it should be replied. So they used to bring the letter to Gandhiji to discuss. Gandhiji says, wait a minute, I've got things to do, he says. You can discuss it when I am feeding the cow or when I am looking after the goats. Or when he was doing something in the garden. He never said, oh, let me go to the meeting room and we'll discuss it there, like we do today, isn't it? That approach I'm saying, that how they are looking at their life, Gandhiji's way of looking at their life. He didn't consider that important. He considered feeding that cow and feeding the goats as important as dealing with the politics and dealing with the administration here. That's that. Inside how they are thinking. That you have to understand. Because that this is niyatam, he says. All this is niyatam. Remember Krishna uses that word niyati earlier. That's what, if you understand that word niyati, you will understand this better. Niyatam sangarehidam araga dveshadakritam. That satyat jnanam inside Gandhiji. That's what it is. That satya jnanam in a person, you can't only give examples like that, then you will understand better. If you read his autobiography, you will understand. And similarly, there are books Nehru has written to Indira Gandhi when Nehru was in the prison. That book, if you read Father's Letters to the Daughter, you will see there he is writing about Gandhiji's relationship with the world. There you will see all these things. Nehru was a very serious person. He used to go to discuss all these things. But Gandhiji was like this. He said, never gave any importance to any of these big things in this world. For him, at that moment, Niyadi has put, the cow has to be fed in the morning. That's first priority. After that, India's independence. That was his. Whereas if we were in that position, what would you do? How we would have acted? A small disturbance in life is enough for us. The whole thing changes. Is it not? But no, not in their life. So that is why he says, so they used to say this to him, the followers around him. They said to him, is this not selfishness, what you are like this? That for your own personal karma, personal things, what he was doing, they didn't think all these things were important, feeding the cow or feeding the goat. They didn't think that is important. They think something wrong with this man. They are saying like that. And then, and then he used to say, I have to go, it's a time for prayers. He used to go for the prayers, and that used to last for an hour or two. It's after that we'll discuss this later. That's how he was. So, so, and when you have to feed the grass to the goat, and then he wants to go for his walk after that. After all these things, he will say, I will look at the letter, and we can talk about it. Or, when I'm doing all these things, you can discuss with me, I'll discuss with you at the time. He saw all of them in the same way. Because he says here, you know how he answered that? He said, if I have not done all these things, if I make any decision, it won't come out right. See that? Very interesting, isn't it? If I have not done all these things, and if I make a decision about it, it will not come out rightly. That's how he saw that. Why is it? Sattvika jnanam. That's what it is. Niyadam, sangarahidam, aragadveshadakritam, abhalaprepsuna karmam, yattat sattvika muchyate. You see, if the sattvika jnanam is there in a person, you will see his karma will be like that, will be controlled by that sattvika jnanam. Whereas in us, if any, if something important we have to do, say we have to, we have something, you have to go away somewhere, to fly somewhere or something like that. What will happen in our life? We will, so many things we will get rid of if we don't have to do it. Or if any major decision has to be made in life, we will make sure that so many other things we write it off, isn't it? So niyata karmam also we will give up. But they have structured their life in such a way, everything is important for them. They don't give any priority there. This karmam is more important than the other karmam. You see that? Vedabuddhi is not there. Thinking that diplomacy and independence movement and all that, he did not consider that as more important than feeding the cow. He considered that equally every karma, able to deal with that. That is their sattvika jnanam. Sattvikam inside, sattvagunam inside, when it comes up, this is what will happen. That's the point Krishna is making. We'll look at it later. Dodarpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakai davachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pradipada Purnamrita Swadhanam Sarvagna Swavanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Tamagari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Gala Edadrishi Tavakrupa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdaiva Midrishamiha Janina Nuragaham Tranara Vishuni Chena Tarorabi Sahishuna Ananina Manalena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavadat Bhaktirahi Dugitvai Aidanda Danyo Jagingaram Padidamam Shami Bhavambudo Kripaya Tavavada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nainam Glada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Giram Pulagar Najidam Kadava Bhutavanamagrahane Bhavishadim Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Vinda Brahename Ashlishava Padaradam Pineshtumam Adarshana Marmahadam Karoduam Nadadava Vidada Dalambado Matpranathasuna Evana Param. So, um, what we are talking about, this karta, doer, in the mood of goodness, is it not? Mukta Sangam, Anahamvadi, Dhridi, Ulsaham, Samanyudaha. Siddhya, Asiddhyor, Nurvigaraha, Karta Satyam Uchere. Karta Satyam Uchere. You will see this only very, very special people, this nature, that Satyam, Satya Kartava. Satya, Karta Satyam Uchere. So I was talking about Mahatma Gandhi's nature was in this way. That Satya Jnanam you could see coming out in this way. Whenever he was spoken about that people could not understand that, who were around him. And they could not realize it, that where is this coming from? That he could not see the importance of the political decisions they had to make. At that time, you can imagine that there were so many important decisions to be made. Instead, their daily life, the niyata karma, what was coming through that, they accepted it in the same level. Gandhiji used to say that if these karma were not done, if I had not done these karma every day, my decision making, if I make any decisions, that will go faulty. That's how he saw that. So, this karma is niyata karma. Try to understand that. Niyata karma means this every day what he has to do. The independence, fighting for independence, is Krishna has put it in front of me. I was brought into it and I was put into that. That's not niyata karma. Do you understand the difference between the two? One is the niyata karma. That is every day he is living, other living entities around him, he felt the necessity to, because Shastram says this, isn't it? In the Saptama Skandam you will see in the Bhagavad, that every grihastha or a householder, whoever is surrounding, they all have to be cared for. Even if it's a snake, you have to feed. The snake is living around your clothes. That's what Bhagavad says. So Gandhiji was very much like that. He made sure that they were all cared for. And that karma is niyata karma, giving the grass to the goat or to feeding these cows and give us growing vegetables, watering the plants, going for the prayers and going for the walk. All this was a part of that daily routine thing what he has developed. That is his niyata karma. He felt he has to do that and he lived that life based on that principle. So nobody could say anything. It was so open and clean sheet. It was. At the same time, the other thing that has come in front of me is this independence of the country and negotiations with the British government and all other things. That is Krishna's problem, not my problem. That was his attitude. This I have to do, I'll do it. The other things Krishna has put it in front of me, and I'll take it in that way, he says here, and that will happen in its own way. Whether what will come out of it, I don't know. That was his approach. That was his approach. And this is a symptom of a sattvika kartava. One who is engaged in karmam and who is a doer in a sattvic mode, he will be like this. Do you see that? It's difference in that person's approach in life. Sattvika karma. So, he will be busy in this world doing different things, but there is no attachment anywhere. There's no attachment anywhere. Whereas you will see other people very attached to their work, planning everything meticulously, organizing things, doing things. That's not satyam, that's rajasam. Rajasam or tamasam. Whereas satyam is, first thing is, your spiritual life and your daily life, you organize and structure it in such a way, that's done always. There is no change in that. Other things that has come from, Krishna has thrown at you, according to your prarabdham, what has it come, that's separate. That, what results come from that, you are not concerned about that. That has to go through you. That's all. So, and that when they do that karmam, they will do that without ragadvesham. That means when he, you remember Gandhiji was known for that at the time when he was fighting for independence, everywhere there's so much meetings and rallies and all sorts of things were going on. So every moment he had no hate towards anybody, no attachment to anything, no hate towards anyone. That way he was able to mobilize the people. And they also found in him a leadership where there is no particular attachment or aversion to anybody. It's very easy to whip up the sentiments of the people and create fighting. But he was able to do it in a very sattvika way, in a sattvic way. So this is all the nature of a sattvika leadership. You can see that sattvic leadership there. So after saying that, Krishna is saying in the next verse, what is the nature of a rajasic leadership? We have to know these things, so we'll know what difference is. Ragi karma bhala prepso lubdho himsalmago shuchi harsha shokanvida karta rajasa parikirtita ragi karma bhala prepso lubdho himsalmago shuchi harsha shokanvida karta rajasa parikirtita. That's it. Ragi karma bhala prepsur lubdho himsa almago ashuchi harsha shokanvida kartaha rajasa parikirtita. You will see the difference between the sattvika karta and rajasa karta. Rajasa karta, Krishna is saying here that the worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Said to be in the mode of passion. So, so see the difference between verse 26 and 27. 26 is all sattvikam. 27 is fully rajasam. Fully rajasam. So rajasam nature is like that. It says there, ragam. First thing is ragam. And ragam means attachment to the work first. Then what else? The attachment to the results also. In sattvikam you won't find either of them. No attachment to the work, no attachment to the results either. In rajasam, attachment to the work and attachment to the results. Then what else? Lubdha. It says here, lubdhada. Lubdhada means, the word Prabhupada mentions here. Yeah, greedy. That's the right word, yes, greedy. So, greed, desire, 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 pushing very hard. And then, in the process of achieving success, isn't it? In the process of achieving success, you wouldn't care for about others. You pay into anybody, it doesn't matter. Especially when you work in institutions, you will get come across this problem all the time. And there's no consideration for others. And he's thinking that he's doing the karma and making it a success is the success of life. He thinks like that. But Krishna doesn't think like that. Krishna saying your karma is only success. If it has gotten off your karma vasana and you have managed to come to the mood of goodness, then your karma is success. Otherwise, your karma is a disaster. Krishna doesn't look at the results of the karma. Krishna looks at the what impact it had on you in your life. How far it has helped you to purify your existence. That's where Krishna is coming from. So, therefore, when we read these verses, you have to always bear that in the mind. Otherwise, it will be because generally we see go by the results, isn't it? Based on the results, we judge everything in this world. So he says here that this rajasic person, he won't be, he won't have any consideration for others. Only his interest, nothing else. And because if you engage in this rajasa karmam continuously for a long period of time, what will happen is you become very, very selfish in life. And then when you start reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam and Krishna talks about tyagam, sacrifice and all that, It's an unknown thing to you because whole life you have practiced this rajasic way. Whereas sattvic person will easily understand what Krishna is trying to say. And in this rajasic activity, he develops into that person because he is so attached to his karma, he won't consider for his body very much. Cleanliness of the body, of the mind and things like that. And only happiness will be, is it generating a lot of wealth for me? Is it generating a lot of wealth for me? Sometimes you have to look at this big businessmen. They have often programs about them in the television and all that. Some interesting programs. And when you see their stress and their anxiety, recently there was something very nice to see that. Nice to see that means in the sense that how this rajasic nature controls certain people's life to such a degree they can't sleep at night. And because of the stress that has built up inside, and the way they deal with the in their business with other people and the world as such altogether. It's frightening when you see, as though some devil has got into that body. That's the way they act in this world. And they are a human form, but all the activities are like a devil. He is working like that in this world. And if you ask, he is not time to think even about it, that he is like that. He doesn't know. He's acting all the time. He doesn't have any time to sit and think what he is doing. So that person, you'll also notice in them, when they are making huge profits in business, how happy they are and how celebrating. Because big celebration, paying big pay rises to everybody around them and celebrating it and inspiring everyone in all these kind of things. They'll do that. And then if they lost some big business and lost it and lost in big dealings, everything, then he becomes very depressed and takes into other solutions to the problem. And you will see him, the whole company suffers because of that. So all these things are rajasam. All these things are rajasam. So Krishna is saying here, first thing is ragi. Ragi means attachment. Strong attachment to the karma. Strong attachment to the karma. Ragi. Krishna calls it as ragi. Karma bhala prepsu. Karma bhala prepsu. He is working only for the results. Whereas satya jnanam is there. He is not working for the results. What is he working for? He is working for purifying his existence. Because he uses the karma to purify himself. So there is a big difference there. You have to notice that. A rajasic person, he works in this world to get the results. A satya person, when he deals with the karma, his goal is how to purify himself from that effect of the karma. That is why Krishna spoke like this, satyam, rajasam, tamasam. And unless we have that satya nature in us, it is not possible to have satya jnanam inside. Therefore he is saying here that he says that karma bhala prayapsu, that is the priority over everything. Therefore himsalmakaha lubdaha, that is miser and greedy at the same time, and no matter how much he makes from that, he is not satisfied. Ashuchihi, and he will go through bad means, ways and means to do that. And if he gets a lot of money, excitement inside. Harsham, if not, depression, shogam inside. So if a person is working like this, you can take it that he is a doer in the mood of rajasam, in the mood of passion. These things, which is nice that Krishna has spoken in this way, but if you observe this in people, then you can easily understand this. Because we have living examples for this all the time in this world. Living examples, right now, there is no shortage of this. If you ask it to show where is a pure devotee, you will struggle a little bit to find one in that way. But if you want to see one of these, what Krishna is talking about, it's no difficulty. You just have to keep your eyes open. You will see these characters everywhere. Their anxieties and their way of life and the way they speak and the way they deal with the world, everything is very different. Very, very different. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Ragi, karma bhala prepsu, Lubdham,
Himsa Alpadam, Ashuchi, Harsham, Shoganidam Karta, Rajasa Parigirtida. Now let us look at the Tamasam. What is the next one? He says here, that is the verse number 28.
Ayukta Prakrita Stabdha Shato Nishkrita Shato Nishkrita Lasam Vishadhi Dirga Sutrecha Karta Tamasa Muchyate Ayukta Prakrita Stabdha Shadho Naishkriti Golasam Vishadi Dirga Sutrecha Karta Tamasa Muchyate
Ayukta Prakrita Stabdha Prakrita Stabdha Shadho Naishkritiko Alasa and Vishadi Dirga Sutri. All these are character, nature of a person who is in the mode of ignorance. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunction of the scripture, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mood of ignorance.
So when you have problem while working in the office, just show that person this verse to read. You don't have to tell him directly. You can just say, tell him that, look, read this verse, what does it say? Because there is so many of them you have to deal with in this world now while working. Is it not? These characters, there are so many in this passion and ignorance. And it is sometimes very difficult when you have to work with that kind of personalities. It's impossible, practically. Because one by word, every word, if you look, Vishadi, Dirga Sutri, Krishna calls them so many names about them, isn't it? Ayukta, Pragardam, Stabdham, and Shato, Naishkudigo, Alasa. That's all their nature. So, here, what Krishna says here that first, ayuktaha. Ayuktaha means he has no sense control. These people have no sense control, mind control. And there is no, they don't have prakrita smrita. Very materialistic also. You will never be able to trust these people in anything. What they say will be very difficult to trust their words. That's their nature. Their nature is like that. And ayuktaha prakritaha. That means they have no proper discrimination in anything while doing things. And they will do something or they'll plan to do something and they will give you some logic which will be totally illogical. They have their own logic, they will be having it. But if you look at it, because there is no main problem with them is that they don't accept any authority. No shastram, no scripture in life. Because there is no shastram, no scripture, therefore whatever, they can do what they want. It's that kind of understanding. And they will decide when to do it, where to do it, how to do it, all these things, they make the decisions. They will postpone things by various causes, they will make various explanations for that. Stabdaha. And they will not have any kind of humility in doing things. And even if they are talking nonsense, they will continuously keep talking, exercising their authority over you and trying to push you down to get the work done. And even if you tell them something logical or reasoning, nothing will work with them. And shataha. Shataha means that they will have their own way. They want to get their own way done through that. And in that process, they will be doing a lot of nonsense also, which you can also observe, the way they make decisions. And sometimes the results will not be very good from all their intelligence, what they have made, their decision. Everything can go wrong, things will go wrong. But still, they will keep on doing the same nonsense. Naishkritiha, that means they will all be nishkriya. They won't do anything on their own, but always manipulating others. Always manipulating others. This is they are good at. Manipulating others, and they won't do anything on their own, and ready to cheat and lie whenever it is necessary. And they will insult others, and they won't show any gratitude to anybody for anything. And if you do something for them, they will show some gratitude or some love for you for some time, and after that, you may expect that a certain response from that, but they won't show anything, any kind of gratitude. And their attitude is that they expect you to do it for them. Everything. And they think that they are meant to get it from you. That's how they look at you. They expect that all your, they're expecting you to do everything what they want from you, and they take it that it is your duty to be like that, to be like that. And in that way, they will remain in this world. You can see this in the world many times. You can give them anything for any amount of time. When you give them, you will think that, oh, they'll be pleased with what I have done. They'll think like that. But after some time, you will see their attitude is, you are meant to give it to me. All these things. You are meant to do that. What's so special about it? That's their attitude. So, and they think that you are meant to give and I am meant to take it from you. That's, they are completely convinced on that point. And instead, they won't show any kind of gratitude for what you have done for them or whatever you have dealt with them. Isn't it? In return, nothing will come from that. Ultimately, they will say, even if you have done a lot, they will say, what has he done for me? That will be their attitude. So, when things happen like that, from our own side, what we have to do is that I had some karma to sort out with him. That's the only thing you have to remember. I had some karma to sort out with him, and that has come like this. And the kukkar, and therefore I have to give it back to him. And whether if it is not coming back anything from them back to us, you can say that my karma is more or less getting exhausted in that way, and it is finished there. And that's our gain. That's our profit or gain, you can say, that I finished up my account with that person. And we should not look back thinking that whether he has given it back to us or not. And we have done it, finished the account, account is closed. That's the mood we should have. It requires a certain spiritual understanding to do these things. If you are completely absorbed in the vyavaharam, it's difficult. That's why knowledge is necessary. When we read Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's discussions on all these topics, it gives us an understanding that while dealing with this world, especially in the vyavaharam, things are going always wrong, isn't it? Vyavaharam is like that. The nature of vyavaharam itself is like that. And often you get cheated, ripped off, and so many things happen. But every time when it happens, if what Krishna is saying to us is that he has taken it and gone, my account is closed with him at least. Now, my account is closed. If he has not, suppose if he is coming back with some returns and everything, then you have to take it again, that karma account is not getting settled. It's getting extended further and further and further. Whereas if you can close the account by giving and giving away, and that is on a higher principle, that's the right thing. In vyavaharam, you may think, I have lost it. That should not happen. But on a spiritual plane, you have gained something, your account is closed there with that person at least. And we should live peacefully in this world in that way. Because tamasic people, they won't show any gratitude to anything. And many people you will find in this world in that situation. In that situation. They will live here, but they won't give anything to the world. Instead, they will only take from the world. And even if you give them something, they won't show any gratitude, and they won't do anything for you at any circumstances. You'll look still, is there anything further I can get out of that person? These kind of things. And even if you ask for any help, they won't come with any help. Alasaha, because they don't want to do anything. This kind of people you will observe in many, many places, in many situations. Vishadi. Vishadi means that even if you have done a lot of things for them, they will look very morose. Then you will start saying, oh, this person can never be happy. I can't make him happy, you will say like this. So any time you look at him, he'll be sitting there, like the tamarind which is compressed. Like the compressed tamarind, he will. If you look at the bags, if you go to the big supermarkets, you'll not here, in the huge godowns in India, you'll see large amounts of tamarinds come. They store it, and if you go and look at them, that tamarind will not move to be like this. It'll be sitting like that. It's a special nature of them. So no enthusiasm to do anything, and if he has to do anything, he'll postpone it for tomorrow. Or he will say like this, next month we may do it, all these things. And Dirga Sutri. This is what is called Dirga Sutri. You see that word Krishna has used here? He says here, Vishadi Dirga Sutri. Dirga Sutri, yeah. Dirga Sutri, you have seen this with people, haven't you? That if you say something to them, yeah, I'll have a look into it, he'll say. Few days have gone. Then you phone him. You'll say, I was busy with these things. I couldn't do it, you'll say. Then again, it'll postpone like that. And then eventually you'll give up. What can you do more than that? So, Dirga Sutri is that nature. Not doing things what has to be done, and postponing it, and being delayed. They say, Nala naledi naledi, nila niledi puna puna. It means, that's the Sanskrit, they say, Nala means tomorrow. Tomorrow, day after tomorrow, day after tomorrow. In that way it gets extended. Nila nilaydi puna puna. He says it keeps on going like that. Never they will do anything. They consider this is an art of management technique. Some managers are like that. If you have dealt with them, you will know. Oh, they'll, if you talk to them, suppose you have got a problem and you want to discuss with your so-called manager. You go to him and you talk to him. And he says, I'll have a look at it. And then he won't do anything. Won't do anything, say anything. He will think the problem will get sorted on its own. That's his inside thinking. Then you are waiting for a decision from him. Days have gone, weeks have gone, months have gone. No response is coming from him. Finally you give up. You can't do anything. But he won't get upset with you. He'll be very peaceful. But the nature, the way he deals with the problem is, he won't discuss with you. He won't tell you what the way to go forward. There is no discussion, nothing. He will keep behind everything, completely covered, and at the same time, this approach. Nala naledi naledi, nila nila puna puna. That goes on like this, day after day after day. And he will know that one day you will give up. He won't, because he has not taken responsibility. He is put in that position, he is there. And you are supposed to work with him. And he won't give you any kind of help or cooperation. And in that moment, finally, you will give up and you will go. And he will say, yes, what can you do? You're gone. It's gone. So they'll say like this, that I'll have a look at that. I'll discuss it later. And after 2 days, we'll have a meeting. And they're very expert in organizing these meetings. They'll fix up a meeting. And they'll tell their secretary, you contact my secretary and she'll fix up the meeting. And while you are contacting the secretary, he will say to the secretary, if that man phones up, you tell him I am booked up for the next so many weeks. That way he will extend another few months. This is all games these people playing all the time. This is all that tamasajnanam. Nothing straightforward. Nothing straightforward. Everything like this. Dirga Sutri. See, Dirga Sutri is something you can see in all organizations, they are there. These Dirga Sutris. You go and tell them something, they will listen to you. And they will say that we have to discuss this matter. And they will find excuses. So we have to put up the matter with the council or the organization management or whatever it is. They will say we have to discuss within the management committee. They themselves are the management committee. And they won't make any decision. He says, you have to discuss with the management committee. Some stupid excuses, they're thinking that you are an idiot who is saying all these things. And then you ask them, you know, you may have this experience because if you have worked in this world, you will know all these things happening. And then management, they will have a discussion inside. They won't tell you what is going on. They would have taken some decision. And the way of communicating to you that decision is like this, not saying anything. That's the way to tell you no. Nothing gets done with such people. Nala naledi, nila nila di puna puna. It goes on like that. Months and weeks and months will go like that. And then one day finally you will get frustrated and you will go. And they say, okay, bye-bye. Oh, that's it. Working is over. So that the word Dirga Sutricha means. Dirga Sutri, plenty of people, Dirga Sutris are like that. They consider this all a part of the management, what do they call it, MBA, or whatever that is. MBA gives you all this way of doing things. With your MBA won't help in all these things. It cannot help. Bhagavad Gita and MBA don't go together. But they have gone and introduced Bhagavad Gita for MBA also. How the whole MBA is all these things. What else is MBA? MBA is all these kind of things. How to manipulate people, how to cheat people, how to lie, and how to maneuver things and manipulate things like this and keep your industry growing, whatever you want to make money in that way. So that's what it's all about, isn't it? There is no ethics, no values, no morals, nothing in there. Krishna is talking about how this will affect your spiritual life. It cannot happen. That is why he's saying here. So if you observe the world, you will see this category of people a lot. This Durga Sutrija. Durga Sutrija. Why Krishna is saying all these things is telling us to look at ourselves. That is why he's saying all these things. Because these habits we pick up very easily from the society, from the industry, from the from our working life. These habits come to us. And then what happens? When you take to spiritual life also, you start doing the same thing there in spiritual life. You cannot have that in the spiritual life. If you have this Durga Sutri nature in spiritual life while dealing with others, that's very dangerous. Because it won't take very long. Krishna is not very pleased about that. Krishna expects you to understand what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and to have that honesty and truthfulness inside. That is why it's saying here. So all this is indications to us to tell us that how careful we have to be to look at ourselves. That's the only purpose of saying this. To look at oneself and see how far these qualities he has spoken, rajasam, tamasam, in us. Because we don't have to blame anybody if Bhagavad Gita is not working for us. We don't have to blame anybody. Because of this rajasam and tamasam inside us, our karma is rajasam, our knowledge is rajasam, our doership is rajasam or tamasam. And in that situation, how can any satya jnanam build up inside? Krishna put that condition in the Bhagavatam, is it not? In order that spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization to build up inside, satyam is necessary. Satwal sanjayade jnanam, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Satwal sanjayade jnanam, only in satvagunam jnanam will come. Knowledge of the self will happen. And when we don't recognize that, what that statement, the gravity of that statement, and we start thinking that, why am I not understanding like the way Parikshit got it or somebody else got it? Only thing you have to look into ourselves and see this in this chapter, what Krishna is saying. So far, Krishna spoke about karmam. Then Krishna spoke about jnanam in the three modes. Then Krishna also spoke about the karta. Karmam, in three modes and karta in three modes, isn't it? So satya jnanam, rajasa jnanam, tamasa jnanam. Satya karmam, rajasa karmam, tamasa karmam. And satya karta, rajasa karta, tamasa karta. Krishna spoke of all these things. So in that 26th verse, Krishna mentioned, mukta sango anaham vadi, dridi ulsaha samanvitaha, siddhya asiddhyor nirvikaraha, karta satya muchyade. Karta satya muchyade. So mukta sanga anaham vadi. So these two symptoms, Krishna says, as symptoms of a person in whom sattva-gunam has built up. If sattva-gunam has built up in a person, invariably you will see this in him. Which one? Mukta-sangam anaham kudi. Anaham-vadi. So, sangam, one who is released, freedom from sangam, attachment, that is a symptom of a jnani, isn't it? Jnani singam, symptom is no sangam. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. That is jnani, isn't it? So, here, Krishna is saying, a karma yogi who is engaged in karma, but who is developing karma yogam, if he is in the mood of sattva-gunam, then he should be mukta sangaha. Mukta sangaha. For example, people want to understand karma yoga because this whole chapter is very much a karma yoga spoken in a little different way. But it is karma yoga. Karma yoga is develops into bhakti or jnana. That is the way it happens. Remember, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has not spoken about bhakti exclusively as a process. Mainly it is jnanam and karma. You will notice this. If you are reading Bhagavad Gita regularly, you can find it. But jnanam and karma, without the help of bhakti, it will not work. It will not work. And here, karma yogi also needs the help of bhakti. And if you have that sattva-gunam in that karma yogam, then he has to have mukta sangam. Mukta sangam, what Krishna says there, liberated from all material association. In other words, attachment to the karma should not be there. That's a difficult thing, isn't it? To do karma at the same time not being attached to the karma, number one. To do a karma, not get attached to the result. If that state of mind is there in a person, you can say practically he is operating in sattva-gunam. He is operating in sattva-gunam. Sangam means sticking to something, getting attached to it. So mukta sangam means freedom from that. You are not sticking to any karma. Today one kind of karma has come, you have done that and it's gone. Tomorrow another karma comes, you are not concerned, oh that was a better karma than this karma. Karma, if you know what karma is doing to you, and if you know how to free yourself from the karma, if that is your objective, then you will not be concerned about the nature of the karma. It will not bother you. So, if it is asked, if you ask that question, that is it possible to release from that sangam in that way? And that is why, in the Bhajagovinda, Acharya mentioned that salsangatve nisangatvam. That nisangatvam comes from that. Salsangatve, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatatvam, nischalatatve jivanmukti. Will sangam go away from us inside? Krishna mentions here mukta sangaha, isn't it? Mukta sangaha. Mukta sanga param rajed. Mukta sanga param rajed. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam also. Mukta sanga param rajed. This is in the first canto somewhere. If your attachment has come to Krishna, if your sangam has come properly towards Krishna, then this sangam will go. Sangam towards karma will go. Why we get so attached to the karma? Reason is because we have no attachment to Krishna. When I say attachment to Krishna means attachment to Krishna, attachment for self-realization, attachment for knowing who we are. If these things, self-realization or Krishna consciousness, whichever way you call it, spiritual life in other words,
If you are attached to spiritual life, your attachment to karma will go.
That is the proof of that. That's the way Krishna explains that. Mukta Sangaha.
Because these two things won't go together. The moment we develop attachment for self-realization, because even becomes a priority then, is it not? Or Krishna consciousness, or surrendering to Krishna, bhakti. Whichever way you call it, doesn't matter. It's all the same thing, in different ways we are packaging it, that's all. Bhakti or spiritual life or surrender to Krishna or self-realization, whatever it may be, if that happens, or Sangam with Krishna or Atma, if it comes, then it Mukta Sangha Param Raje. The Mukta Sangam will happen to us towards karma. Towards karma. That is why all the devotees have spoken this. Jnanis have also spoken the same thing. Jnanis have also spoken the same thing. Gopi says this in the Bhagavatam. You will see there. Itara raga vismaranam naranam adhara viranaste adharamadam. You will see there that when we got attached to you, we lost our attachment to a home, family, children, parents, work, what we had to do, looking after them, all that attachment gone. This is the proof of that. Gopika Gitam, if you read, you will see there. Itara raga vismaranam naranam adhara viranaste adharamadam. Itara raga means this attachment to other things in this world. Because we haven't got that Krishna consciousness or bhakti or self-inquiring nature in us, therefore we suffer from the karma. Karma has no other importance than that. To get escape from this karma, Krishna is saying to us that mukta sangaha, mukti or freedom from this sangam will only happen if attachment to the Krishna, attachment to self-inquiry happens. Otherwise, if you have got a little taste for self-realization, to find out who you are, if that taste has built up inside, then also you will lose the attachment to the karma. So, either through attachment to Krishna, it may go. Direct attachment to Krishna. If you get somehow or the other attracted to Krishna, your attachment to karma will go. Somehow or the other, if you get attracted to self-realization or find out who you are, that deeper level inquiry begins inside, attachment to karma will go. So, for a jnani, they say, it will completely leave them, because why is that? Atma, in their understanding is, Atma has no sangam. Because they are situated on the platform of knowledge, jnani's case we are talking about, they know Atma has no sangam. That realization is there in them. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. That's why they keep repeating that. Puna puna. Sachidananda rupoham ahamevaham avyayam. So, if the attachment is there for self-inquiry, or because intense inquiry is going on inside about who I am, awareness, consciousness, if it gets very strong, they know that Atma has no sangam. That knowledge is sufficient to get rid of the sangam in the mind. If that understanding is very firmly established inside, this attachment is in the mind towards karma, isn't it? We get attached to different kinds of work in this world. Any kind of work, doesn't matter. People are attached to it. So that attachment to the work will go if this realization comes in. What? That Atma has no sangam. Sangam is in the mind. Sangam is in the mind. So, the very nature of Atma is asangam. Isn't it? Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. Keep saying. So, and it cannot stick to anything. It cannot even stick to your karma. What to talk about? Sticking to another person, sticking to another object. Just like Atma cannot stick to, even with this body, it cannot stick to this body. That's why we die. Atma cannot even stick to this body. My attachment to the body is all in my mind. Is it not? So, Atma is not attached to this body. In my mind, because of my false identification, I am attached to this body. Atma still has no attachment. That is why when Atma leaves this body, Atma doesn't lament about it.
Me, because of identification with the body, I cry, or I'm going to die, or somebody else is dying. All this, Atma, at no point in time, you will not see Atma lamenting about anything. Because Atma has no attachment. That's the very nature of the Atma. Very nature of Atma is like that. No attachment anywhere. Completely free. In the Bhagavatam, what do the word they use? Swarad. You remember that word? Swarad. Janmadyasa yadonvayadidharas charte shavitnya. Swarad. Swarad means this one. Fully independent. No attachment anywhere. That's the nature of Atma. We always try to understand what Atma is, isn't it? It's a very difficult thing. You explain that also. That is why in that first verse itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi, while talking about the truth, the very nature of the truth is Swarad. Swarad. No attachment anywhere. And all these things, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, Puranam and everywhere, is the history of not. Eventually, when finally you will see in the Bhagavatam, he makes a statement. And it's a very interesting statement from Sudha Goswami. I think it's time to look at that verse now. Because you will see the relationship there, what he is saying there. He's saying there that the, if you look at that, 12th canto. I think it's the 4th or 5th chapter. And such a statement from, how Sukadeva Goswami says what he wants to say at the appropriate time. See that in the Bhagavatam, if you look at the 3rd chapter, 12th canto, 3rd chapter, he says that Katha imaste matitam, verse 14. 12:3:14. Katha imaste katita mahiyasam vitaya logeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. Very important verse. And this verse has completely shaken people. This one particular verse. When you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you are always thinking that, oh, so many kings appeared, so many dynasties have come, solar dynasty, lunar dynasty, so many incarnations, so many devotees, their life, their struggle in this world, and their experiences, their relationship with Krishna, and Krishna's activities in this world, all the incarnations and their activities, then everything, as a Puranam, Bhagavatam has discussed everything, right? So, from the beginning, Bhagavatam is saying that Sargam, creation was discussed. Visargam, primary creation, secondary creation. Sargam, Visargam. Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, Manyandaram, Ishanugatha, Nirodham, Mukti. All these different things. Liberation, you know that, all different things in the Bhagavatam what is discussed. Everything was discussed. And finally, all this is spoken on the last day, before he is leaving his body, who? Parishad. Shukha Brahmarshi says to him, all these things I have told you so far. Katha imaste kathita mahiyasam vitaya logeshu yasha pareyusham. I have only said all these stories to you with only one goal. Vijnanam vairagyam. Somehow or the other, create some vairagyam inside you. Otherwise, all these things has no meaning, he's saying. Why? Vajo vibhudir. All this vibhudi I have spoken about. Nadu paramarthyam. In Atma, nothing can touch Atma. Even though I have explained so many things in so many cantos, with so many royal families and big princes and all interesting discussions, isn't it? In every chapter, if you look, you will see chapter after chapter, different incarnations, different incidents in this world. After saying all this, he is saying to him, Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. I have only spoken all these things, so that there is only one goal, that there is some vijnana, knowledge, proper knowledge inside builds up, and some vairagyam inside, only for that purpose. And he says, Vajo vibhudir. I have spoken all this vibhuti. Vibhuti means opulences of the different kings and different emperors and then the different devotees, different jnanis, all this. Vajo vibhuti, nadu paramarthyam. Nothing is truth, he is saying. Why? Why is that? Because in Alpa, all this has no impact at all in the self. This is, we have to make ourselves convinced about this. Because you see, as soon as you come to the body, you have lost it. Everything gone. But as long as you are settled down in the platform of the soul, you are aware that Vajo Vibhudir Nadu Paramarthyam. Nothing is true here. All this what he has spoken is all within the jurisdiction of Maya. Within the jurisdiction of Maya. Maya will continuously change and play with us in different ways throughout life. And we start taking all this serious because in this Maya, the only thing that is real is Atma. Is it not? And that Atma is referred to here as Paramarthyam. Atma is the only Paramarthyam here. And Atma is not untouched by Maya. Atma is untouched by Maya. So till we get to that realization, all these things what we are drama going on here, in whatever form and whatever ways it is, it has nothing to do with the self inside. Well, that is why Krishna is saying Mukta Sangha Param Braje. Mukti is the Sangam goes away from karmam. So karmam towards Sangam towards karmam is also like that. One aspect of that. We have got Sangam for so many other things, isn't it? Attachment for home, attachment for various objects in this world, attachment for some persons in this world, attachments for karmam also similar to that. Nothing, just like we leave the attachment to everything else, the attachment to the karmam also must go from inside. So, Krishna says here that if you have that attachment or realization of the self inside, Atma, then this attachment to the karmam will go from inside. So you can see, Atma has no attachment anywhere. It's in our mind and it's in our emotions. Through emotions, our mind comes out. We cry or we show some compassion. We feel bad about it and all. But you can see here, somebody very close to you died. Somebody close to you died. And for a few days, you will cry or you will feel, show some emotions and everything. And after a few days, you ask that person, doesn't know anything. What? It's gone, dead and gone, so what? That's the approach. Then after, what can I do? It's nothing more. And that person, you will see, he will put on some serial or something on the television. You will be seeing, sitting and laughing nicely. He was crying a few days ago, after the person's death. You are crying very badly. And you are feeling, oh, there is no hope in life. Life was hopeless. Everything has gone. And the same person, if you look at him after a few days, you will see, yes, put on a nice football match or any or another serial or something like that. And you will see alone sitting there, enjoying that and laughing very happily. So where is that this unhappiness gone? Where is the sorrow has gone? So what does it mean, all these things, isn't it? So, and if you tell him that, look, you were crying the other day, like anything, can you cry like that once again? when somebody died, somebody very close to you, husband died, or wife died, or children died, parents died, sometimes you feel that way, is it not? And you feel very affected by that. Oh, my whole life is changed, people say like that. Nothing has changed. What has changed is your mind has changed for some time. Few days you felt very bad, but then something changes inside. Because why is that? Because in the body, Atma is the only Sat, the truth. Inside is only Atma. Mind, body, senses, ego, they are all Anatma. They are all Asat. And Asat does not have any reality. Krishna has spoken that. Na sade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. So, from there you can understand how true that Bhagavad Gita's conclusion is. Atma has no Sangam anywhere and Atma is never in distress. Satya Chitta Anandam, that's the nature of Atma, isn't it? Krishna is Sachidananda Vigraham, we are also Sachidanandam. Only thing is, Krishna is always knows that he is Sachidanandam. we never know that we are Sachidananda. That's the only problem with us. So, so all these samskaram, what samskaram means, these kind of impressions, when we, like hankering, lamentation, or when somebody will die, the loss of life, and your frustration in life, all this is in the field of mind. Nothing to do with Alma. It's all inside the mind. Manomandalam, it's called. It's in the Manomandalam, everything is happened. Because nothing can create any impression in the self, in Alma. Nothing, no matter what happens in this world, even this whole creation goes away, it cannot create any impression in the Alma. That powerful is Alma inside. So look at the strength of Alma. Alma's strength is like that. That completely swarad. When Vedavyasa Maharshi says swarad, he is trying to make us aware the potency of Alma. Alma under no circumstances is affected by anything, changes that's happening in the Maya. Because Prakriti is Maya, creation is Maya. And in this creation, no matter what happens, floods, earthquake, or cyclone, or drought, or whatever it may be, no matter what happens, it's all affecting only our mind and the body. Nothing to do with the Alma. Krishna is saying to us, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to us, till you get to that state, realizing that you are Alma, these problems will always be there. It won't go. So that is why Rishis found out this from the very beginning. See how clever they were. That if I have to escape from this material existence, miseries of material world, the only one and the only solution, once for all, is to go back to my pure identity as the self, as Alma. I have to get back to that state. That is why they kept banging this, hammering this on us, Upanishads, Vedam, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, Bhagavatam. Every Shastram in the Vedic system has only one and one thing to tell us. Come back to your identity as a self. There is no other way of solving these problems here. This is all patchwork what we are doing now to try to adjust things here and there. It won't work because as Prakriti's very nature is, she will do things to make us to go inward looking, to find out who we are. So none of them is touching our pure identity. If we have realized this, then asangatvam is possible. What Krishna says here? Mukta sangam. Mukta sangatvam is possible only through self-realization. Otherwise it is not possible. So, this asangatvam or mukta sangatvam is a nature of Alma. You see? Nature of Alma. And it will not stick to anything in this world. And it doesn't have, it is not even sticking to the body, what to talk about anything else. Alma, Antaryami inside, is not sticking even to this body. It doesn't even sticking to the mind. And it doesn't stick into any other persons even. We see when we say, oh, husband loves the wife loves the husband. Where is that love? It's all in the mind only. Nothing gone more than that. All on the surface. In the mind only. All relationship, parents' relationship with the children relationship with the parents, all that is in the mental platform, completely only in the platform of the mind. And Alma has no sangam there also. But when the poets write, they will say, oh, some of the things they write, that although we are in two different bodies, in the soul we are one. That's also true, but in the Advaita level it is true. But not on the body level it's not true. They're saying like this, that we are two, so many film songs are there. In Bollywood songs, Tamil film songs also, there are so many big songwriters. Because when their romance is played around the tree, running around, so at that time they have to sing all these songs, isn't it? They're fooling each other, saying to them, to make you feel that how together we are, in our loving relationship, is it not? Loving relationship is not possible with the body. Loving relationship is only in the platform of Alma. That's where, and Alma has no Sangam anywhere. Therefore, there is only one Alma. Because there is no Sangam anywhere. The Alma has no Sangam whatsoever, anywhere. That's the very nature of Atma. Till we come to that state, that is our identity. Atma's identity, Atma is our identity. Till we come to that, Krishna is saying, that is the very nature, and that is the solution to the problem. And so, Vedam gone one step further. What does Vedam say? Vedam says, do you want a proof for that? He says, go to the deep sleep state. Vedam says, go to the deep sleep state. And when you enter into that deep sleep state, that how easily you throw away your sangam to everything what you had in the wakened state and what you had in the dream state. How freely you are able to throw it away. Is it not? Suppose you worked hard, earned a lot of money, millions and millions, right? And then you went to deep sleep. Where is that millions? Where is the attachment to that millions at that time? You put it into some bank, thinking that, oh, it's all safe there, thinking that you're going to sleep. Not that because it's safe, you're going to deep sleep. Deep sleep is Pragati's job. She puts you into it. So you go into deep sleep. When you are in the deep sleep, is anybody looking after your millions there? Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you know that the bank is gone. Isn't it? So, and you were thinking that, oh, you couldn't do anything about it because I was in deep sleep. So that is the Veda's proof. Vedam is telling us, look at that. You see, Vedam is not telling us to worry about what happens after death. Right now here, in this body, with this mind, with this intelligence, and with this knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you make that into your own life, you will see that it will have a considerable impact on your own way of looking at things. You will find that very, very, very helpful. Because he says here, how easily you are able to give up your sangam when you go into deep sleep, isn't it? In the daytime, when I go to the shop, supermarket, I'm looking, trying to buy something, where is the best offer, best prices? Is it Lidl or is it the other one, what's it called? Aldi. Which better price? And they keep on advertising also, or Tesco, or supermarket, whatever it is. And due to thinking that I have to make a profit, and am I getting ripped off this or that? So many things you are looking at, isn't it? But how comfortably we are able to throw away all these things in the wakened state, in the dream state, in 1 second like this when you go into deep sleep. Whole day in Vyavaharam I was so careful about not getting ripped off. Everybody is ripping you off. So anyway, that's the modern way of life, isn't it? There is no truthfulness in anything. In any Vyavaharam, if you look, whether it's gas bill, electric bill, or water bill, or council tax, or anything if you look, the whole thing is like that. The way it is structured, it is like that. So you fearful, become more and more fearful about that. But when you get that deep sleep state, when Prakriti puts you into that, there's no sangam anywhere. So if you want it is possible, it can happen. When that deep sleep state, your sangam can go. What does that indicate? Atma doesn't have any attachment anywhere. It doesn't have any attachment to the council tax. It doesn't have any attachment to the gas bill or electricity. It's all in our mind and senses and the body, all these things, activities are going on. Once you come to the spiritual life and understand what Krishna is saying, we are free. So we'll discuss it next time.